to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Help you, boys?
You got any white bread?
Yes.
I'll have some toasted white bread, please.
You want butter or jam on that toast, honey?
No, ma'am. Dry.
Got any fried chicken?
Best damn chicken in the state.
Bring me 4 fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
4 fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
You all want anything to drink with that?
No, ma'am.
A Coke.
Be up in a minute.
What could I do when I was Celestia? I spoke a different language. I spoke a different language that God and I spoke together. I could see into the future. I could heal people.
Can you still remember that language you spoke?
Of course.
Can you do any of it?
Sure. What would you like me to say?
I don't know. Anything.
Well, the word for God, okay, a lot of it is prayer. The word for God in my language was called Kines. Akines, Akaforta Tuna Don. It is a good fortune, Isa Don, to be here.
What is your reaction to the comment that you are just a flash in the pan?
Maybe they're right. Nobody knows. In fact, if I knew, I would be a mastermind. I'm not.
The Don and Mike Show.
The best of Don and Mike, the Bo Dam. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Arnger, with you on this fine, fine Monday afternoon. Don and Mike returning tomorrow, July 11th. That's Tuesday, if you're keeping track. And I am glad to be with you today because we have one more day, a big old heaping, steaming plate full of best stuff for you. So there's really no reason for me to keep yapping. Let's get right back into it. Hey, it was just Friday a few days ago. That's right. Let's get into the best of Don and Mike. I'll tell you why I'm excited. This one features me and the ghost in the studio. It's the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
We were at dinner last night, and as we've mentioned, we had a great time.
Yeah.
We were drinking.
Talking, laughing.
Mike was cracking us up. We're goofing with Beth Ann.
We had a great time last night.
And then Joe just pipes in the middle of this that he's seen a ghost here at the radio station.
The way it was brought up was Mike was mentioning his new chef,
mm-hmm.
who came from the Bailiwick Inn.
Bailiwick, yeah,
over
right,
here in
right.
Fairfax.
Oh, and you said that there's a rumor that joint is haunted.
Yeah, there's. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much accepted by people that work there and stuff.
Okay, Joe.
That is how it started. We were talking about hauntings in general, right?
So I mentioned that the station's definitely got ghosts running around in it.
Okay, let's talk about you seeing the Civil War soldier coming through the back wall.
Let me put on these glasses. And now you should tell the story like you told it
Never
last
buzz,
night.
Red if you believe,
that's right.
Blue if you don't.
Now fight, you're sitting in a theater.
Tell it just like you did last night.
Remember, now this was probably 6 or 7. Jeez, I've been here 9 years. So
wow.
Maybe.
Congratulations. Are you still making a minimum wage?
Basically. Anyway. Is there any other kind of wage here, by the way? Remember when you had carts going all the way across the back wall?
Tape cartridges, yes.
Old studio. And just to set it up, remember I told you that at times...
Joe, can you set up the clip for us? What will we be hearing?
Well, I would do overnight jazz shifts.
All night.
And back in those days, there was no computers, no internet to read all night, so you had to bring in your newspapers and your books. And I would be reading books and stuff. I'd have to go to the bathroom. And I'd walk out in the airlock, and there might be a 3-4 carts laying on the floor.
Just lying on the floor like someone taking them out and throwing them on the floor.
So you know, a cart is
a cartridge, like an old A-track.
One of these tapes that I put it in the machine, and then you hear that when I press the button.
And in the airlock, we have hundreds of them from back when we ran commercials on them. So I would think nothing of it, thinking maybe I missed them on my way in or something, or that somebody working there, you know, at 10 or 11 o'clock that night had brushed into them and knocked them off. So I would put them back, come back from the bathroom, sit down, read my books and stuff. A couple hours later, have to go to the bathroom, go back out in the hallway, more carts on the floor, knowing that there had been nobody in the
Is that anybody even in the building?
No, absolutely not.
How you doing, Garrison Keillor? God damn, you're a wordsmith.
I know.
Well, I'm riveted, yes? What was that, Brother Grimm? I think you're one of the Brothers Grimm. What is it, Billy Shakespeare? Continue, please.
So, one of the best things, or one of the wildest
things. And really,
things
go ahead
happened.
And just, like, lift your shirt up and go ahead and just scratch your ass or whatever you're doing while you're talking to us.
What does the t-shirt say today? I must be at the circus because all I see are clowns. Very good.
It's a bestseller on my website, by the way.
Oh, God, he gets the plug.
Anyway,
JoeArtinger.com.
I'm reading my books, my newspapers, or whatever, playing the jazz music,
right.
And I heard what sounded like carts just
the
falling.
Cart. Okay.
Yeah, like falling off of your wall, right behind me.
Like that. Okay, we've just recreated the sound.
Thank you for duplicating the sounds you would hear in a radio theater.
From the Alfred Hitchcock Radio Theater.
Get to the ghost part.
And I turned around, and I saw a figure coming through the wall, and I don't know how else to describe it. It was grayish but darkish, and it looked as though it was a Civil War soldier of some sort. I know last night I said it was a Union soldier, but really, how can I tell that they all?
Right, it was a Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
You see something?
Had the cap.
Oh, yeah.
And the coat. And
oh, yeah.
I wasn't high.
Oh, yeah.
I was stone cold sober.
Stone.
You're stone.
And I rubbed my eyes, and I looked again, and it was there that whatever the head was on this thing looked up and saw me, and it faded right back in the wall.
So you actually made eye contact with the ghost.
And then
he split.
And he shined. Did you have any shrooms?
Nope.
Did it look like Wendell?
No.
So you're saying that a ghost,
sure.
And the picture that I got in my mind was like in that movie Field of Dreams, when the baseball players come through the cornfield. That's what you're describing as that.
Sure, very similar.
Out
was
from the
this
wall.
Thing that you saw, was it so clear? I mean, it was just clearly identifiable.
Well, I've looked this stuff up on the internet and stuff. What I saw was probably what's known as a shadow person. And a shadow person is a kind of supernatural phenomena reported by some individuals. Eyewitness accounts of shadow people are fairly consistent. Huh. They are usually described as vaguely humanoid, lacking any discernible features such as mouths or eyes, completely black, with little or no mask, and disintegrate or move into walls
black ghost,
when noticed, usually within a split second.
All ghosts are white. That's why you love ghosts.
Right.
Now, it should be pointed out, Rob, I think, brought this up at dinner last night, that where this building is located, right across the street, is one of those little signs that there was significant activity during
well,
the Civil
sign
War here.
Pertains to the guy who donated the land where City Hall and the original
Let's
jail.
See, can we just,
Rob, you said there was Civil War activity.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All around here.
Yeah. Right.
Come on. Listen, Joe, I love you.
I think Truro Church down the street,
you're a great
Colonel
guy.
Mosby hit out in at one point.
Mm-hmm. You're a really great guy.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Not kidding you this time.
But I totally do not believe you.
That's fine.
I believe that maybe.
Do you believe that he believes what he saw? Or do you think he's telling the fib?
No, I believe he believes. Uh-huh. But I believe he believes because of something he ingested.
Yeah, or like perhaps too much night the night before.
I would be more than happy to admit that if that were the case, because I certainly don't have a problem, you know, admitting my past.
Here's what I think.
I know you don't.
We should do an investigation.
I know it's going to be scary.
Joe is certainly not the only one that has done overnight shifts here.
Uh-huh.
That has been here in the wee
hours.
Yeah,
I would wonder if anybody, and also, just walking down the hall some nights, you feel like somebody is right on your ass, just. And then you turn around and...
So you think this place is haunted, and you seriously think that you saw a ghost walk through the wall, and he was a Civil War soldier.
Well, that's what I would think he was. That's what he reminded me of the time.
Okay.
I've done probably as many overnight jazz shifts as anyone, and I'm not even sure people were even listening. I've never felt that there was anyone here or on the other end of the dial or anything. So I don't know. I've never felt a presence here.
Is this the first ghost you've ever seen?
Yes, seen, but not the first time I've experienced, you know,
paranormal phenomena.
Oh, wasn't that scary? What else have you experienced?
I went in the story about my buddy who works out in the Culpeper Inn, or used to, and the weirdness that was out there. And we used to run around that place in the middle of the night when we were closing it up. And he told me after I had told him, I said, there's something odd about this dining room area. And he's like, oh, yeah, let me tell you. You know, apparently the old owner of the place lifts forks and spills drinks for people that just...
This is really going to be scary.
There's a woman that was murdered in the basement that makes an appearance that he saw. I didn't see her.
You're going to weave a story. This is, it's almost like I'm sitting through dinner last night again with this.
It's paranormal.
This is just for Mike's reading pleasure. This is some of the story.
Hey, he got some research for you off the internet.
Well, you know, I was... And I'm curious. I want to ask the rest of the table.
Yes, you were.
Was I the most receptive...
Yes, you were.
Because I love a good ghost story.
You live in a haunted house, too.
I actually spend time in two houses that might be haunted.
Don and Mike show.
There you go.
Hey, I was hoping to get on the air.
Yeah, you're on the air.
How's that working?
You're on, like a believer.
You're on the air.
We're on the air.
You're on the air.
Excellent. My girlfriend is a paranormal investigator, and she does that sort of stuff all the time.
Okay, thanks for the contribution.
Hey, can we get a paranormal investigator here?
What, like medium? Is that what you're talking about?
Just somebody who's like a paranormal investigator.
Like a Ghostbuster, is that what you mean?
Yeah, can we get Dan Aykroyd?
Hello.
Do you have a video camera that shoots infrared?
No.
I have night vision on
Don and Mike, hello.
Should put it in Mike's attic near the scary boxes and leave it up there overnight.
Hello.
Get the next day.
You are on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I want to let you know I'm from Gettysburg, and I can back Joe up on this.
Ah.
I've seen
many for Gettysburg.
Great dial up there.
Yeah, you've had these experiences too?
Yeah, when I was high.
There you go.
It's fun.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
And crack staff.
Yeah, they're on crack. Hi, what can we do for you?
Joe, are you sure it wasn't a Civil War surgeon you saw walking around?
Don Geronimo, Civil
With
War
his
surgeon.
With his stovepipe hat.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing today?
Joe sees dead people. The Ghost Whisperer. Isn't that the show with what's her name?
Yeah,
with
Jennifer
the big jugs?
Hewitt,
right.
America's most watched network.
Joe Love Hewitt. Jennifer Love Ardinger.
Jennifer.
Joey the Vampire Slayer.
Hello.
Hey, China Lake Naval Weapons Center checking in, gentlemen.
Who's checking in?
China Lake Naval Weapons Center.
Where's that?
Up in Ridgecrest, California, in the middle of the desert.
China Lake?
China Lake.
Oh.
You go swimming there. You want to go back 20 minutes later. Bro.
Swim again.
Actually, first, I want to say Heil Speed Whack. And got a question.
Listen, when he says Heild, H-E-I-L,
yeah.
First off, I want to say Heild Spiewak.
And the name of Joe's show wouldn't be Ghost Whisperer, it would be Medium Intellect.
Not on my show.
I am the ghost.
Of last night's dinner.
You are the ghost what?
I am the ghost of your predecessor, Joe Rockhead. These are the chains I forged in life.
He's
I made them inch by inch, and yard by yard.
Where are these people when I'm answering phones?
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello. Hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
How you been?
I've been fine. How you been?
Hey, Donnie, I want you to do a live show from New Delhi one day.
This man is obviously from New Delhi, and he wants you to do a show there.
He's obvious from New Delhi. He's obviously from New Delhi, Mike.
Right.
This is not a fake accent.
Love Delhi.
Well, we would, but India sucks, sir.
Why would you like us to do a show from New Delhi?
You got a free screener. You know, you don't need a Joe over there, you know. There are a lot of
Isn't it great when people from foreign countries' kitchen sings?
I know it's going to be scary.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
They're all going to lie with you.
You know, I'm not sure what that was, but I think it was someone making fun of you, Joe.
No. Oh, that's okay.
Or a ghost.
Hey, remember when we're sitting in here sometimes and we hear those big thumps?
Yeah.
Have those ever been accounted for?
As people having sex.
Do you remember when we thought like it sounded like somebody was dropping kegs of beer on the floor?
Mm-hmm. Mike.
Yes.
Bacardi Limon.
Tony Diggs.
Okay. Hello.
Sorry.
Hello.
Are you playing clips from the Ed Grimley Show?
Ed Grimley? Oh, no, SCTV. Yeah, you might call it the Ed Grimley Show. Yes, SCTV.
Count Floyd was on the Ed Grimley cartoon.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah. Oh, wasn't that scary?
Huh? Yeah, just seeing Civil War soldiers, I must say.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I think I can explain what Joe saw.
Please, go ahead.
Please.
It's called paranoid schizophrenia.
Okay, thank you.
Not a lot of backup for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, they're behind me, aren't they?
Maybe the best Ed Grimley that I ever saw was right. Where he went on Wheel of Fortune. Did you ever see that?
I never saw that
on
one.
On Saturday Night Live where he actually had... And he was...
Oh no, I did see that,
he was
actually.
Like, yeah. I'm going to be on the Wheel of Fortune. I'm really going to be on the Wheel of Fortune.
I'd like to buy a vowel.
You know, Sajak seems like a decent guy, I'll say.
It's one of those bits that I wonder, like... You know, well, hell, I look at it now and I go, why did I think it was so funny?
Yeah, I know. They don't hold up that well.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Okay.
Hey, I believe Joe, because I've actually seen a ghost before.
There you go.
About 20 years ago, a friend of mine was killed in a car accident, and about 4 months later, I was inside I guess they call it like an annex to a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting,
Mike,
warming up, and he came in. He came in. I sat and talked to him for an hour.
Wow! Mike. All right, fascinating. Thank you.
For an hour.
What do you have to say?
Oh, we just talked about, you know, what's been going on, stuff like that. But
like, this is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Now, Joe, did your ghost talk to you?
No.
No, he did not. Do you hear voices, Joe?
No, that's the thing, and I'm not any kind of expert about this stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah,
medium rare. That's what you are. You are medium rare. Hello.
That's how I had my steak last night.
Don and Mike Show.
And he was the slowest eater of our group.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, did the ghost happen to come in on a scooter and have Tupperware in his hand?
Why is that funny, Ron?
Oh, okay. It was Liddy.
Yeah, it's Liddy.
Okay. All right. Oh, I get a Tupperware because he used to go to the bathroom in Tupperware. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Let's just say that. G. Gordon Liddy, when he worked here, had a problem with bladder control. He has to wear adult diapers, so he really would go to the bathroom in Tupperware.
Right.
During his show. Thank you. Hello. He's a national
There
viewer,
was an
you know.
Unidentified liquid in my Tupperware.
Hello.
Come on, you're on the air. Come on.
Yes, gentlemen, I wanted to know whether this was Casper's brother, this ghost.
Okay, this is where we officially end this now. Joe, thank you.
Great callers this week.
Don't blame the caller. You know, most of those callers are pretty decent.
Oh, sure.
Because I think you had nothing to do with that. Those were all unscreened calls.
I would suggest that you find witnesses,
yes.
People that can maybe corroborate your
story.
Yeah,
find somebody back
you up. Or people that might have had a similar experience.
I told you that guy McNair.
No, but guys here at the station. Find somebody here at the station who's seen a ghost.
Or call Mrs. Muir.
Oh. And that big sea captain. Yeah, that was a
sea
great
captain.
Ghost.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank
it was you. A lovely story. And you told it so well with such enthusiasm.
Forget him. Look at him all happy and stupid. Newly married. 40 years old. Any other guy in his position in his life would have a gun in his mouth every night. Joe's happy to be here.
He's very happy. Well, I'm going to keep my eyes peeled, especially when the sun goes down a little earlier. We have John Norman. Maybe this is a witness.
Hi, John. Well, I'm not so sure I'd call myself a witness. I'm not sure I've ever seen a Union soldier or a Red soldier wandering through walls or anything, but this is a kooky place, and I've seen things out of the corner of my eyes that doesn't make any sense.
Like, wait a minute. Wow.
Like, now, are you talking about just regular people, or are you talking about supernatural stuff?
I don't know.
What? An example, please.
Be sitting, you know, sitting in my studio working and see something out of the corner of my eye, and I'm kind of back in there where I can't really see a whole lot of things. So if, like, when people walk by, I, you know, there's usually somebody that I can see. Someone comes into the air like I can see them. But I see things out of the corner of my eye coming from behind me. Middle of the night, yes, I see weird things in here. I don't know if they're ghosts.
Yeah, I like this. I sure like this. It's getting better and better.
Stop giving me that hairy eyeball that means you're an idiot.
Yeah,
going back
I know. It's
going to
be scary.
How about the...
I believe there are
Hey, John, wait, hold on, John.
How about stuff falling on the floor and things like that? Maybe stuff that moves around.
Noises, anything?
Have you had experience with that?
I mean, stuff jumps off those cart racks all the time.
I think there are bodies buried in the building.
I used to respect you, Jeff.
He said stuff jumps off those cart racks all the time.
It does. Out of the corner of my eye.
I'm throwing stuff. Get out of here. What are you doing? I think you're a smart guy.
Yes.
Don't come in here and back up Joe.
For God's sakes.
Jesus. There's no ghosts in here. There's no ghosts in here.
All about ghosts, or as Rob likes to call them, spooks.
Hey, Buzz Burbank.
A lot of people call ghosts that.
Yes, this is true.
So that's Joe's big ghost story.
I liked it.
I believe him.
And after we heard it, we all went back to the loft. We took our shirts off, and we made poetry. We made pottery. I said we made poetry.
And poetry.
We made pottery.
We made s'mores.
Yeah, okay. You know, I got nowhere to go on this. I know.
Doesn't leave you many options. But outside of getting a paranormal investigator in here.
Okay, so we won't do that. I don't believe him. We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
This is Brian. He's here for the assistance job.
Hey now.
Oh, hey now.
Really big fan, Mr. Kingsley.
Thanks.
Yeah, I've been a big fan ever since you hosted Double Danger.
Hmm?
Remember? Everybody put on their protective goggles. Let's all play Double Danger.
You really are a big fan, aren't you?
Show me your resume.
Oh, no, you don't have. Wow, personal assistant to Barbara Streisand.
Well, actually, I was the personal assistant to her personal assistant.
And, you left that job because...
Well, I really can't say because I signed a confidentiality agreement.
She made him clean the hair out of her tub.
Paula, the woman wears a lot of hats.
Well, you're not going to have that problem with me. Where are you from?
Originally British Columbia.
Oh, our nation's capital.
Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting Butterball Naked, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Right. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Legendary Joe Arndt with you on this fine Monday afternoon. Don and Mike returning tomorrow to brand new studios. Meanwhile, I'm here stuck in Fairfax at 10800 Main. But tomorrow, the whole gang joins you from Rockville, Maryland in the Don and Mike building. So let's get back into the best of. What was this one about? Oh, actually, it's a hodgepodge. And there's some Jew-to-Jew mixed in with it, too. You can't go wrong with that. It's the best of Don and Mike.
And, Mike,
yes,
I just wanted to ask you before we start this next bit.
Yes.
Because I'm behind you in all respects of your life. I know that yesterday you were very proud when you mentioned that you've not smoked cigarettes.
Yes.
How was that one you just enjoyed?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about. What, a cigarette?
I haven't
smoked for months.
I didn't see him out there.
Yeah, I mean, none of us. We go out.
John
Norman and I were looking at the mole.
Like I said,
and I'm not talking about the one on TV. There was a real mole outside that had lost his way.
Like I say, who am I to judge? I am simply trying to be a good. Yeah, Marlboro Lights. I see. And
matches
from his restaurant.
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
What you are? I'll tell you what you are.
What am I?
You're a common whore.
I am, and
I'm a common whore, and I'm so proud of it.
You're a common whore.
No, I started again.
I don't care if you smoke or not.
I smoke
four or five at a time if you want. If you enjoy it.
That's
what I told you yesterday.
It's been creeping on me, and I'm having a little trouble.
Well, yeah? We can do that later.
All right.
We have the people on the phone now.
All right, no problem at all.
And remember, I'm Donald Goldstein. I'm a
doctor.
I'm a doctor.
Right.
Dr. Donald Goldstein.
That's correct. And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law.
Right. And we're ready for the Gentile version of Judaism.
Have you been injured? Just practicing.
Let's get right to it. Buzz, we'll wait for your introduction. Let me, on the phone, we have... Now, the setup here is that the Pope, the dead Pope, Pope John Paul, his 1975 Ford Escort is being put up for auction in Las Vegas. after a dad and a son had a fight about the car. They've decided now they're going to auction it off. They think they're going to get between $2 and $5 million.
Wow.
For the Ford Escort that Pope John Paul drove. And the guy's name, the spokeswoman is Michelle, mm-hmm. and the guy who's bankrupt, who's selling the car, his name is Jim.
Jim.
And Buzz, when I turn these lines on, they're going to hear us, mm-hmm. so you just give us the intro, okay?
All right.
When you hear the music and the lines are on, and we are officially on the air.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's Jew to Jew with your host, Dr. Donald Goldstein, and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. Now, here are the hosts of Jew to Jew.
Thank you. Shalom.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
This is Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law. May I be the first to wish everyone a happy Rosh Hashanah. This show has been in the works for quite some time, and that's why we are working today. But we will be leaving at
sundown for our dinner, for our food feast.
As soon as this broadcast is concluded, we will be whisking home to be with our families.
Now, normally on Jew to Jew, we like talking about all things that appeal and of interest Jewish.
Yes, the Jewish community is what we focus on, but we were fascinated by this story.
Hello, Gentiles. Welcome to this edition. I'm Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law, and we're very, very excited about this story that we have for you today.
The Pope is a man, you don't often hear that name on our show.
No, we don't talk about the Pope very often.
And his funny hats.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to talk about the Pope now because we have two people on our JTJ phones. First is Michelle. Jim. Hello to both of you and welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you very much.
Hello, Michelle. Hello, Jim. Are you both there?
Yeah, I have a little bit of a bad connection, but yes, I am here.
Welcome, Gentiles.
I'll try. I've been accused many times on the show of being too soft-spoken.
So your hard sell is what you are.
I'll try to speak up so that you can understand me and we can make it through this interview.
On our show, as I mentioned, the name of the show is Jew to Jew and Happy Rosh Hashanah. We are thrilled to have Gentiles on the show because you're going to be discussing something that interests everyone, regardless of your religion. And that, of course, is the Pope's Ford Escort.
1975, is that when this is a 1975 automobile?
Correct.
Yeah. Wonderful.
How much, let's get down to brass tacks.
This is going to be auctioned, correct?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So what are we looking at? I read in your press release $5 million. I'll tell you frankly, I think that you are lowballing it.
You think we're lowballing it?
You could be. I've talked to many, many Gentiles, and they're fascinated with the Pope.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
like, he's a magical, almost superhero.
I'm not well versed in the faith, but I will tell you that the people that in the Catholic religion I would understand would that have disposable income would be more than willing to part with a tremendous amount of dollars just for the novelty of this item. What say you?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think the interest that it brings about, that it's brought about in the last few months, has been staggering. I mean, all across the world.
Yes. And you know what? I'll tell you this, for the Gentiles, the Pope is like a skinny Santa Claus.
I agree.
He's like a skinny Santa.
An icon.
Yes, he is. And I don't see any reason that he should not be mass-produced and brought to the Gentile people, much as Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all of your other fake Gentile stars that
How
you
much
have.
Will you be starting the bidding at? Let's cut right to the
chase. Outstanding question, attorney.
Thank you so
will
much,
probably, We'll probably actually ask somebody in the audience to start the bidding.
Oh, no.
No. Now, listen.
No. You must go, huge.
You must go in with a reserve, and you must say, listen, the bottom line, and you can tell them that you spoke.
So you're seriously going to start
us.
The auction without a minimum?
Yes, and this car is being sold at no reserve.
Oh my.
No, it's a mistake. It's a mistake. Listen, the bottom line, first off, you let no one in the room if they don't at least have $1 million.
I would think not.
In small bills on them.
At the first time that we were going to sell this car, it was going to be a requirement for anybody to have a bidder card to have a line of credit of up to $5 million.
Oh, That is, I will applaud that.
I will tell you that that is what my friend the ambulance chaser requires of many of his clients.
Now you're joking, and I'll accept that. But
not a
really,
joke.
There's not a need for
not
you
a
to.
Not a joke.
There's not. Why?
Not
we're
a joke.
Having a nice interview.
You know, I save
and you
lives.
Immediately go to the ambulance
I
chasing.
Save lives, and you ruin lives.
If, may I point out to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Goldstein, that if it wasn't for litigation, you may not be practicing right now.
And may I point
Thank
out.
Thank you very much.
May I point out to my
no
good
need
friend.
To call me an ambulance chaser.
Esquire,
that's all about
Michael Goodman. I would
it's
just
ridiculous.
Like, I would like to point out that the services I offer. Let me ask you a question, Michelle. We're going to get off track here, and please don't be offended. I'm a doctor.
And Jim, don't worry. We understand that we're going to sell this car for you. We're going to do our best. Okay,
but Michelle. Let me ask you from my.
Well, it's very interesting that you, a doctor and a lawyer, are talking together because it's like going to the doctor's office. When you go into the lawyer's office, they have to listen to their client. I think that's part of litigation here.
Yes. You understand what we're talking
Let
about.
Let me ask
course.
You, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Are you may I ask how old you are?
I'm 25.
25. It's never too early to wonder about these things. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Now, your husband, how are things with him? I'm getting to a point here. I have a medical question for
okay.
you.
Okay.
Are things going okay?
We have a perfect relationship.
That's good.
Can I just jump in here because I'm steaming.
Hold on.
I'm steaming.
Would you just let me get my one cell in?
I wouldn't have to chase ambulances if you remember to take all the clamps and scalpers out before you closed. Thank you. I'm sorry I said it there.
That
it
was
is.
One time. I'm a medical student.
One time.
I
that's all it takes.
Now.
Oh, and God, the patient
Hello.
Survived.
Hello.
That's all I want to say.
Who was down in Mexico City? And I get a drunk call saying, I'm about to be disbarred. I'm about to be disbarred.
I had had one Brandy Alexander, and I was not drunk.
Michelle.
That's all I care to say.
Here's what I wanted to ask you, darling.
Okay.
And don't take this the wrong way.
Okay.
But I think every woman could use a little nip and a little talk. All I'm saying is, when you look at yourself, isn't there something you'd like to fix? Darling, whether it be the nose, do you have the lines around the eyes?
You're turning this into a commercial for your practice, and I don't understand
that. I'm not a big Botox fan, but I must tell you that the women, and I'll specifically the Gentiles that I've worked with.
The station's not going to approve of this.
The breasts lift, they separate, you see absolutely no scar tissue. I go in through the nipple. That's me. That's me. I'm a nipple guy. I go through the nipple.
Uh-huh.
Now, next thing I know, you're going to promote your website and get on there and talk about www.goldcut.com.
Thank you.
Well, it's like,
I mean that. Thank you.
I thought we were talking very clearly about a car that we were selling that belonged to the religious leader in another faith, and that's what we were going to discuss.
You know, I just thought that perhaps Michelle would, you know, Michelle, understand, I'm a doctor. It's my job to save lives, and I save lives one breast at a time.
Would you qualify the car as excellent or outstanding as far as condition?
The car, especially for being 30 years old, the car is in very good condition.
Does it perform well as far as 1975 would be, consistent with quality?
I believe so.
Does it smell at all like the Pope? If I was to say to a client...
I agree. That's a good question. The Pope smell?
I don't know what the Pope smells like, so I can't really answer that.
Incense, I would think.
Would you be offended if a non-Gentile was to buy the car? Jim, here's a question for you. You stand to be rich on this. Would you care if a member of the Jewish faith bought the car, or will it have to be a Catholic you sell it to?
It could be anybody.
It could be anybody.
What are you looking forward to, Jim? What's your best case scenario?
Well, the situation here is the Pope car was bought to build an attraction in Chicago, and because of my Chapter 11 and reorganization of the business.
Hey, that's right up your alley.
I decided that I had to sell the Pope car. And
did you get the right counsel for your Chapter 11? I could help with that.
You can.
Yes, I practice that area of law, family law and estate law.
Define Chapter 11 in one sentence.
Pardon me?
Define
Chapter 11 in one sentence.
Chapter 11 is...
I can describe it in one sentence for you.
Oh, it's not having the proper funds to pay creditors.
No. Chapter 11 is what gave you that wonderful seven-car garage.
Now stop it. Now you're flattering
And
me.
Your kidney-shaped pool.
I appreciate that. Jim, why are you quizzing me? Are you questioning my credentials as an attorney at law?
I'm trying to get my bearings here.
Well, I practice various elements of estate law and litigation for different clients. Primarily, I work in tax law now.
Yeah, okay. Well, the Chapter 11 is a federal entity, and...
You don't need to lecture me on what Chapter 11 is, Jim. I'm familiar with Chapter 11.
The car free from a wrongfully held... It was wrongfully held by a creditor.
So the car... Let me just make... I'm getting my pen out now. Is your car currently...
Are you going to charge him for that?
Of course not. This is free. Consider this advice for free. Jim, have you filed an L-5 with the federal... with the Internal Revenue Service?
I'll let my attorney worry about all that.
That's what I do.
That's where people get into trouble. That's why you need a doctor.
The experts do that.
You need a doctor.
It's a simple document.
Like yourself.
It's a simple document. I would urge you, and we do offer occasional advice on the show as far as legal matters. I would speak to your counselor and ask him if he's filed an L5 regarding specifically pertaining to the automobile.
And Michelle,
I absolutely will.
Thank you.
I will make sure you get all the credit, too.
Thank you very much.
Do you think, Michelle, that you would get as much for this car as you would
say? I'll thank Michelle, too.
Do you think that you would get as much for this car as, for instance, you would get a car that was owned by Jackie Mason?
Can you repeat that again? I have a bad connection.
The question was for Michelle.
Well, it's very interesting that you say that, because we have sold vehicles owned by Adolf Hitler. And
Excuse
me. This interview's over.
We're done.
You know, you can say a lot on this show.
Absolutely.
Not the H word.
Thanks so much.
I'm sorry. Good luck.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Good luck. Good luck.
Goodbye.
Good luck. Goodbye forever.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Don't plug the website.
I'm serious. Hang up on them.
Please.
Hang up on them now. Did they? Tell me you didn't mean that. Hello, people?
Yes?
Tell us and our listeners you didn't mean that on this holy day.
Okay, we didn't mean that.
Thank you very much.
Does the car include Vatican City parking?
I don't believe so.
Any of the robes or ornamentation surrounding the papacy?
There are no robes, but there are a few personal items that were left.
Such as, please. Such as, please.
Such as. Hello?
I'm sorry?
What are the items?
Rosary beads were in the car.
Oh.
There are rosary beads.
Are
you selling those separately?
I haven't decided yet exactly how I'm going to do that. You'll be knowing that soon. I'm reorganizing this sale because it was supposed to happen 4 months ago.
When is the sale going to begin?
Excuse me?
When is the sale going to begin?
A beginning, an end, and a middle.
It's a two-day sale, October 28th and 29th.
So the sale is going on as scheduled?
Yes.
So it has rosary beads and the car?
Correct.
And what else? What other items?
Here's a question for you.
There's a dash plaque in there, and it has... S is in Sam, M is in Mary, and then C-O-R-E-T-T-I.
Why are you spelling? What does it say, please?
Well, S-M.
If the radiator was to overheat,
that's an M.
Would you have to fill the radiator with holy water?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that might soup it up a little bit.
Soup it up a little bit. Besides,
you know, it is a four-cylinder.
It's a four-cylinder. Well, it's not. It would, if the car was valued as just a regular car, it's a 75 Ford Escort. It wouldn't be very valuable.
What's the blue book?
Yeah, but it's all relative, though.
What is the mileage on the car?
It's between.
You don't know, Jim. You don't know. You should know these off the top of your head.
Jim.
Okay, it's been changed from the last media. It was not in the 60s. It's more in the 80s.
Oh, Jim, this is Dr. Goldstein. Is the car fast on Fridays?
Excuse me?
Is the car fast on Fridays?
That's a fasting joke.
I'm trying to make some Gentile humor.
I appreciate it. That's lovely.
It depends if you don't have cheeseburgers in a bag eating them unless, while you're driving.
That's not funny.
Michelle, I think we must speak privately for a moment. Which line is the bankrupt fellow on? On this one? On this one? Right there?
No.
Hold on a second. Let's see who's left. Hello, Michelle?
Yes.
Yes, listen. Now it's just us. The other fellow's on hold.
Okay.
He appears to be just as dumb as a box of rocks. No wonder he's Mr. Chapter 11.
Are you going to hold his hand through this transaction and make sure that he's able to sell the car and realize a profit? Will you help him? You're not bilking him out of millions of dollars or thousands of dollars, are you, Michelle?
I will help as much as I possibly can.
And if you don't mind, may we? I hope your commission is at least in the double digits on this.
I'm not aware of receiving any commission.
Well, the auction house, the spokesman for the auction
house. Hold on. This could be even more upsetting than the H word. You're doing this and you're not making anything off it?
No, not that.
This interview's over.
Forget it. With all about the profit margin.
Interview's over.
Forget
Goodbye.
It.
Let's all go right. Back now to Jim. You are a shrewd businessman. Let me see. I had you pegged as a simple country Gentile rube, but way to go with Michelle. She's not seeing a dime off this proposition. Way to go, Jim.
Jim?
Yes. You were cut off there for a while.
If, the car,
back out.
If the car is broken, will you crucifix it? That's
you got to say that one more time.
No, don't worry. I don't care to.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Jim, and good luck with your car.
Well, thank you.
Goodbye. Good day.
We said good day.
You can hang up now.
Bye, Jim. Thanks for being on Jew to Jew.
Well, what a moron.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Get us out of this, Buzz.
That's all for this week's Jew to Jew with your hosts, Dr. Donald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. Copyright 5766. Jew to Jew is brought to you by the law firm of Ephraim & Associates. This is Michael Rabinowitz speaking.
Wow. That had a lot of levels.
Sure did.
Wow.
Sure did. One of our best Jew to Jews ever.
My goodness.
How about that guy?
We got a plaque that's got S-L-M-T and the rosary in it. I hope so.
If you're a lawyer, tell me, what is one sentence? First bankruptcy me. Okay.
That's Jew to Jew, so there you go, with thank the Pope's car.
Thank you very much.
That worked out better than I thought it might. When we come back, I know you probably already, maybe you have it. Huh? Let me just tease you with this, because I love good, dumb celebrities. Mm-hmm. And this is, have you heard about Nick Cage?
No, I haven't, no.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Don't talk to anybody during the break.
I'm going to go down and watch the ball game.
Have a cigarette.
I can't, because it's inside.
Go ahead, it's our office.
Maybe someone could put a TV outside. Wouldn't that be one? Or I could press my face up against the window.
Just have your cigarette in our office.
Okay.
What are they going to do, fire us? We're the only thing the station has left, for God's sake.
I plan to do it right now.
I'm serious. Do you know that Howard is leaving?
No.
Yes.
Are you serious?
I think he's going to do great.
Good.
I think he's going to do great.
Welcome to oblivion. To quote a great broadcaster.
Oh, I said that one time about cable radio.
Yay.
We'll be back. Now it's time for some more wonderful singing announcements.
Yay. We got a break.
We'll be right back, everybody.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
6.7.
We'll be right down there.
This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Donna and Mike. For Donna and Mike. Donna and Mike. This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Donna and Mike. I gotta hold this up. That's okay. I do this. I do a lot of these, and it takes me a while. This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and... never listen to Don and Mike. This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Donna and Mike. I want to say Donna and Mike. This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and Mike on 106.7. This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and Mike on 106.7 WJFK. This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and Mike. You're going to edit this out, right? Okay. This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and Mike on 106.7. This is Big John Studd, and I never listen to Don and Mike on 106.7 WJFK Radio.
The Don and Mike Show.
Not a word, my sweet. Just listen to the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. Just listen to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike returning tomorrow, July 11th, Tuesday. Until then, we've got lots of great best of. Now, I just played that intro didn't want to step on mix there for a second. That was Big John Studd, if you didn't realize that. And that sets up our next segment with Mick Foley talking about his new book on the best of Don and Mike.
Award-winning author Mick Foley. You might know him as a wrestler.
Right.
We like Mick Foley as an author. And he's written another homoerotic novel.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, it's a gay love story, isn't it?
And it's called Scooter.
Scooter.
Let's bring him on now. Here he is. Hey, Mac.
Yes. Take it back, man.
I only read it as a gay erotic novel.
That's because I think that speaks a lot about you. It speaks volumes. I think you would look at the Art of War as a gay erotic novel.
I think that sing-song guy, he's sexy as hell. The what's his name? Yes, all of your books, that's how I read them. But again, that's just me. Now, the new book that you've written is not about an old guy in a battlefield, and it's not about the West, and it's not about...
It's not a kid's book.
No, it's not a kid's book, and it's not about you beating up guys wrestling.
Exactly.
It's about baseball, right?
It is, yeah. It is kind of a baseball novel. You know, there's a lot of things going on, but pretty much the great and terrible moments in this kid's life revolve around... either playing baseball or watching baseball.
And let me just say to all of Mick's fans, yes, Mick does take phone calls, so if you want to talk to him, you can call now. And Mike, as I look at the jacket on this book,
yeah.
You tell me something. You tell me the man that has evolved, okay? The evolution of Mick Foley.
Oh, my God, look
now,
at that picture.
Look at this.
That's like the John Irving picture. That's the Vermont farmhouse.
You know what
thing.
This is? This picture on the sleeve? You've turned into James Patterson.
Look at you.
Author.
That is the classic author picture, Mick.
It looks very professorial.
It does. It really does.
Look, there's a story behind that. The look. It's the I'm cold, can we get out of here look. You can't tell a photographer. No. I swear, I do these college speaking gigs sometime, and I needed a promotional photo, so I asked the lady who did the same lady that did this one and the Tietam Brown one. I said, could I use that Tietam Brown photo shot, author shot as a publicity photo for college speaking? She said, of course you can, $1,500.
Wow.
$1,500. So I said, oh, well, let me think about it. And I ran down to the local camera store for $25, got a nice shot of me in a flannel shirt. I swear, maybe I'm not artistic enough. I can't tell the damn difference. This time around, my hair had grown out a little bit, and so I thought we needed a new shot. And she called up and said, I was thinking, because the book takes place in the Bronx, that maybe we could shoot the photo in the Bronx, where it was 10 degrees.
Yeah, you know, there's a combination.
I was kind of thinking, man, how in the world am I going to know where we are when all you see is my face? But
there are two things that I think when I look at this picture. First, you've got the same look on your face as Robert De Niro and those annoying, this is my West Side.
The American Express commercials. Right?
My hot break, my up, my down. And the other thing is, at least in this photo, you look more like the actor that played Dr. Octopus.
John Gott.
Alfred Molina.
What's his name?
Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina.
I mean, really? I'm not kidding. Doesn't he look totally... Doesn't Nick look totally different?
It's a total picture. Transformation.
That's exactly what Molina is.
Are you... are you an author first now?
Do I consider myself one?
Yeah, because you are.
I'd be by myself with that sentiment, because nobody I meet says, aren't you the author? I mean, it's kind of cool if they know that I write books, but, I saw a lot of people. Today's the first day of the book tour, and I'm in New York. Saw a lot of people as I was walking down the streets, and every time someone said hello and shook my hand, I'm thinking, he's not going to buy a novel. He's not going to buy a novel. So I think it would be kind of foolish to think that I'd be an author first.
But here's the thing. You're not like doing a vanity press. This is not just you printing these books on your own. They're actually paying you. You're out on a real PR tour.
And you're getting pretty prolific, Nick. I mean, yeah. I mean, you really are. I mean, you have churned out a lot of books. It seems to me like you got to be digging it. You got to be loving writing.
I do like it. And what's cool about this one is that other authors have read it and really liked it. And I know it's like a club where authors can say nice things about their friends' books and get them on the back of the book jackets. But I didn't know any authors, so I just blindly, wrote letters to about a dozen guys and actually got responses from incredible, award-winning, best-selling authors.
Here's a guy who we've had on the show many times and truly makes us laugh, the great Dave Barry.
Great guy.
Yes.
Here's what he writes on the back of this new book.
Wow.
Read this book. I say this not only because Mick Foley's a fine writer. He can pick me up one-handed and squash my skull like a grape. I love the homoeroticism.
He always has.
No, but you got a quote from Dave Barry. Now, he's a good writer.
Excellent writer.
He's a most
now you are you a baseball fan? Is this where this came from? Where the
yeah
the
you know I mean it kind of goes back to my childhood I guess and but I'm not saying this just to, you know, to get sentiment but it's my post 9/11 book because you know like a lot of people I don't want to admit I was scared but you know I was kind of feeling uncomfortable and. I started watching the Ken Burns documentary, the baseball documentary. It's like 20 hours long.
Right, right.
3 or 4 hours at a time. And then I was also reading a lot about New York because I grew up in Long Island. It's about 1 hour and 10 minutes away without traffic. But might as well have been a world away because, you know, I very rarely went there. And especially the Bronx was a place I went to go see Yankee games and get out of as quickly as possible.
Right.
Like my first memory of going to the Yankees was at 1969. I remember Harmon Killebrew singling off the wall, and I remember my mother yelling at the squeegee guy, which seemed weird that my mom would be yelling at a guy who so obviously just wanted to do us a favor, you know?
Right.
So. You imagine that here in D.C. and also in Baltimore, Nick will be in town in D.C. Thursday night. We'll have this on our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. He will be at Olson's Books and Records in Arlington at 7. Then Friday night, if you're listening to us in Baltimore, he'll be at Borders in Lutherville, Timonium, at 7 as well. We'll have the information on our website.
You know, Mick, one of the things that I'm a huge baseball fan as well, and I know I'm a diehard Red Sox fan. When they won the World Series, the one thing that people said is that the Red Sox are a team of memory. But when I listen to what you're saying, I think baseball is a sport of memory, and I think that's why it's such a great subject to write about, because so many people associate things in and around baseball. That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, yeah, and it just doesn't work as well with football. I mean, there have been good, you know, football books with father-son relationship, but I don't think nearly as many great ones. And let's face it, this just wouldn't work if it was a tennis or a soccer story.
explain this to me from page 81. I'm reading from, of course, the bestseller, Nick Foley's Scooter.
You are killed. Yeah, read this. What segment
are you
going
to go and intentionally pick out the one cheesy part there?
No. Harry and Dumbledore approach the back door of the Burrow, surrounded by the familiar litter of old Wellington boots and rusty cauldrons.
Somebody put mixed cover on the wrong book.
Harry. And who is this Harry you're writing about? Harry could hear the soft clucking of sleepy chickens coming from a distant shed.
What's up with that?
Dumbledore knocked 3 times, and Harry saw a sudden movement behind the kitchen window.
I don't hear anything about baseball.
Who's there? Declare yourself. It is I, Dumbledore, bringing Harry Potter.
Wow. That doesn't sound right.
That's kind of a ripoff.
My guy's actually Harry Potier.
Are you ready for some phone calls?
I sure am.
All right, Mick, here we go. Everybody loves talking to Mick. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You are on with Mick Foley. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, come on. Foley is good. Let's go.
Hey, Mick, this is Johnny. How you doing?
How are you doing today?
Doing good. I've met you at several USO events, and you never told me you're writing a book.
Really? Which USO event did we meet at?
We met at Casino Night, the Gala, the...
Yeah. How are you doing?
At Special Night for our retarded soldiers?
yeah, you know what? I'll tell you why I don't mention it that much. The first time I try to do a lot of stuff with the guys at the, you know, the hospitals, but a few times I went and saw the guys off after their 2 weeks of R&R, which understandably is not the greatest day in a soldier or Marine's life. Right. After they've been, you know, over in Iraq for a long time, they come home for 2 weeks, and now I see them as they're going back overseas.
That's gotta be a drag.
I brought like a case of autobiographies with me, you know. 24 children's books and 24 copies of Tietam Brown. And man, I left there, I didn't have a single autobiography left, I didn't have a single children's book left, and I still had like 21 copies of Tietam Brown. So I figure, if I can't give away copies of my novel, the people are going on a 17-hour flight, you know, that maybe that's just a part of my life I shouldn't be sharing with
service. All right, Private Pyle, thank you for the call.
That's hilarious.
You know, he's part of our country's... We were talking the other day about how the standards are really being let down now. They're like, you know, homos get in now and everything. Really. There's not the don't ask, don't tell anymore.
Right,
it's like,
right.
You like it like that? Come on
why,
in.
Why not?
They probably even let in characters from my novels.
That's true.
I believe that guy was one of the RHSs, one of our retarded human shields.
Get him over there as soon as possible.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on with Mick.
Yeah, Mick, I was wondering if you felt that professional wrestling has reached its peak at popularity and is on a downward slide now.
Well, you know, I think that was the case, you know, about 4 years ago, really, or five. It peaked in probably 99 or 2000. And even though it's not quite at the level it was, as WrestleMania this year showed with almost a million buys, when they put something out that's regarded as being special by the fans will definitely support it. So, it's you know, you don't see the kids in the high schools wearing the shirts like they once did, and it's not the in thing. But it's still popular and still very profitable for the guys who are, you know, on the top in WWE.
But boy, don't you look like the smart one. I mean, you were in that thing, you're on top of that thing, you rode that all the way, you had the documentary there, you got the wife who says, quit, stop doing this with your kids, and look at you. You're writing goddamn books for a living now. I mean, I'm proud of you, Mick. I'm not kidding.
That is fantastic.
Hey, well, I appreciate it, guys.
Let's take, here's another one from Mick Foley. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on with Mick.
Hey, Mick. How are you doing today?
Good. How's everything?
Oh, it's fine. It's hot down here in Wichita, Kansas. I have a question for you and a comment.
He does not care about the weather. Please don't embarrass us in front of Mick. He doesn't care about your weather.
I have your book, Have a Nice Day, and I don't live in a big major metropolitan area to attend a book signing. Would there be any place that I could send this book to you with return postage to get it autographed from you?
Yeah, I think if you send it, if you get the...
North Pole.
I'll tell you what you do. You go get the new book, you know, Scooter, and you check out where the address for Alfred A. Knopf is,
the publisher,
and then you send that. I mean, I'd much rather you send the new novel, but...
he's trying to sell books.
If you send the other one...
I'll send both of them.
There's a good chance it will get back to you, but I don't always get the mail, you know, but that is a way of doing it.
Okay. My other question is there any plans for you kind of, any kind of a role on TV anymore, or are you done?
Oh, man, you know, I got to tell you, I made a deal with Vince McMahon. I thought it was a firm handshake deal that I'd do the ECW pay-per-view if I was allowed to come on, you know, right around this time, SummerSlam, to do something with the book. And apparently, though, if you check out the returning legend depth chart, Hulk Hogan is above me on the chart.
So
he came back. I realized I'd probably have to wait my turn. So coming up, you know, eventually I'll be back on. But I like to do something that's got a little bit of, you know, substance to it.
How are his books doing?
Hulk Hogan's book. Hello. Not a Mike Show. You're on with Mick. Hello.
Hey, this is Sloan. Mick Foley. Huge, huge fan of your work. I had a question about Tatum Brown for you.
Okay. I misjudged you because as soon as I heard you, I thought, this guy's not going to read.
Right.
All right, so we actually have a question about your last novel.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, there was a part in the book where the main character, Tatum, is being driven, like, through the night. It's dark, it's snowy, and he drives past a character that you describe as having, like, long curly brown hair, sleeveless flannel, basically your Cactus Jack persona.
God. Too stupid to wear a jacket in the freezing cold, I think he was described as, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that me?
Hold on. Are you intimating that in his last book, somehow he was getting a slam in at that dumb wrestler that he hates?
Yeah, it was kind of like this tongue-in-cheek reference to himself, and it was a really moving...
Yo, you're like the first person who's even noticed that.
That is very cool.
That can't be true.
That is true.
That is
the truth.
You were getting down on that guy in that book. You were still dumping on him in your book.
No, that's him. That's him.
That was me. I mean, I didn't have a winter jacket the entire time.
That was Mick. Mick, is there any truth to the rumor that the character of Scooter is actually based on Al Snow?
Mike, that's the guy I was.
Charisma.
Thank you, Mike. That's the guy I was zoning on his name. The great Al Snow. That's the guy that Mick hates.
That's true.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, you're on with Mick.
Hello.
Yes. Oh, you're embarrassing us in front
Come
of.
Come on, sir.
You're embarrassing us in front of a very famous man.
I apologize.
Thank
Mick,
you.
I just missed you in New Jersey at the UFC a couple months ago.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, were you there as a fan, or were you invited, or do you like that stuff?
Well, a little of both. I do like it, and like a lot of people, you know, I had been into it years ago, and then kind of got out of it, and the reality show brought me back in, you know.
We're talking about Ultimate Fighting, right?
Yeah, but just a bunch of guys fighting, you don't really have an emotional investment in it. All of a sudden, I felt like I knew some of the guys, you know, especially, you know, the coaches, Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell really came across well, and I'd known a guy who was a judge for quite a while, and he was always offering to me, and I never really got around to it. So when they came to Atlantic City, I went, and, you know, I had a great time. And really, I was surprised by how well the fighters, you know, treated me. You know, I thought they'd look down on the stuff that I did, because it wasn't exactly the same as them. And they couldn't have been nicer. And even Dana White, you know, the promoter, you know, he said, hey, anytime I can do anything, you just let me know. They put me in the front row. They, you know, interviewed me about predictions. So we had a really good time and saw some good fights as well.
You are what I would call a renaissance man.
Yeah, that is true.
Jesus Christ. You're all over the place.
Would you have ever, like earlier in your career, would you have seen yourself participating in like an Ultimate Fighting event?
I mean, as a spectator?
No, actually doing it, actually getting in the ring.
You know, the whole guy, you know, my persona was the guy who takes the massive punishment. I'm not sure that would work that well in the UFC.
I don't think in the octagon.
Now, here is another paragraph from Mick's new book. I want to mention that the book is called Scooter. That's his new book. Go to Amazon.com.
A baseball book.
It's from page 43. This is not the Harry Potter guy.
I don't know what you're going to do. I'm just laughing.
I don't know either. I'm at your mercy here.
It's in September 1937, wearing a brand new gray uniform that he had just ordered for the occasion, Mussolini visited Germany and Hitler's invitation.
How did that go? Yeah.
That is not. The
That's
Nazis
are
no expense in attempting to woo the Deuce with shows of pomp and pageantry.
That's the Hitler book. That is not right. That is not.
That's my prose, yeah.
It's
correct.
Not
I ghostwrite Hitler stuff all the time.
That's not the right book.
Oh, God.
Hold on. Here's another call from Mick. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on with Mick Foley.
Hey, Mick.
Yes.
Remember when you were like a wrestler and then you wrote a book? That was awesome.
No.
You're really embarrassing
Sorry,
us.
Sorry, Mick.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Mick.
Mick.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you the guy in the old WWF that used to walk around a 2x4?
That was Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Huh?
That was not me. That was Hacksaw.
You're embarrassing us. He was simply one of the great of all time. You know him, Mankind.
Mankind. Mick, you've been on the show enough. We don't have to apologize for our listeners, do we?
So stupid. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Hey, Mick.
Thanks for jumping in, Mick, because Mike and I weren't going to say anything to this
app. We're just sitting here in the studio rolling our eyes.
God, how you doing? Listen to the show, for God's sakes.
Yeah, go ahead. What's your question?
Yeah, not a question, Mick. I just want to say thanks for all you do for the U.S. I think it's great, and everybody appreciates it, and everybody just gets a thrill when you come out and do stuff like that. So I just wanted to say thanks for all you do, and best of luck to you with all your book right now.
And I'll
you know, I really appreciate that. You know, of all the periodicals or papers, the Washington Times did a really nice story. I mean, and completely positive. And I've, you know, since that time, I've had, you know, servicemen come up to me who are not necessarily wrestling fans, but they'd be like, are you that wrestler who comes to the hospital? I say, yeah. And then they, you know, they thank me. They really appreciate it. You know, and I've met some great people, including, you know, some pretty people high up in the government as well who have expressed their, you know, appreciation.
Well, you know, yeah. I said the last time you were on the show, and I maintain it here, I think that's the next logical step for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see you. I see politics in your future. I really do.
Unlike you guys.
And he wears it on his sleeve.
You're smart. Unlike
we'd vote for you
the other
you're
guys.
Smart. That's right.
But if I'd known I would have a chance like that, I wouldn't have screwed up so much in my youth.
You don't care. You think the skeletons would come back to haunt you?
It's like John Wayne Gacy's crawl space.
One more. Here's one more call from Mick. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air with Mick Foley. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say hi to Mick and see if he remembers me. I went to college with him.
Wow.
Wait, hold on. I know the voice.
You know the voice, huh?
What is your name?
Stacy.
I think somebody just came up.
Yes, I do know Stacy.
Did somebody just come alive from the crawl space? I'm curious right now.
I think so.
I'd be on book tours, and I'd be like, I wonder if any of my old girlfriends are going to be here. And I'd be like, oh, wait a second. I don't have any of those. So, yes. How are you, Stacy?
Good, Mick. How are you?
Yes, I'm, I don't want to throw the name Bob Space around, but this is the right Stacy.
Talk about crawl spaces.
Wow.
They really do know each other. We've been friends all through my 4 years there, right?
Yes, we did. I live in Virginia now.
What are you doing there?
My husband,
raising your child.
my husband got a job transfer down here. He's an air traffic controller for the government.
All right.
She didn't have this voice in college, did she, Meg?
Yes, she did.
Yes, I did.
That's scary. You knew Betty Boop?
Oh, be nice.
Are you a petite thing? You sound small, man.
Yes,
are you,
I am.
Are you a little elfin woman? Or?
Yes, I am. I'm one of those typical Long Island Jewish girls.
Did you experience the charms that Meg had to offer back in college?
Yes. We hung out a lot, went to many bars together, and had a good time.
Wow, that's wonderful.
A really good time.
Yeah. I still see Diane.
Oh, you do, right?
Yes, Diane. Well, not Ramsey anymore, but yes.
Was that another one of your FBs?
McKeerden, my old roommate, he works for Fox Sports, so... Yeah, it's kind of a small world. I see some people every now and then. And Don and Mike, I got to tell you, I am far more popular now in people's remembrances than I actually was in college.
I hope you wore a rubber back then.
You know what? Wow, my 11-year-old's right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the truth. And I wrote about this in my book, but I had one in my wallet.
Oh,
and apparently those things will turn to dust if you don't use them for 4 years.
Yeah. Was that your first or second book?
I think that was in the first book.
I bet so, too.
Out in the island of Dominica, you know. This was 3 years after my initial experience, and the thing had just fallen apart completely.
Turned to dust.
Rubber could crumble.
Everybody, Mick's new book is called Scooter. You can get it at Amazon.com. We'll have all of Mick's appearances in the D.C. Baltimore area on our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. And very sad you can't come in to see us, but the next time you're here, get your ass in the studio, okay?
I know, and you won't be in town, I was told, when I'm coming in.
Yeah, no, we'll be on one of our lengthy Johnny Carson vacations. It'll be a Thursday, September 15th. At Olson's Books and Records in Arlington, and then Friday the 16th of September at Borders in Lutherville, Timonium, Maryland, up in Baltimore.
And we want to be the first to know when you start that congressional run, okay?
You will be. I'll announce on your show.
Very good.
All right.
All right. Hey, you guys are awesome.
No, you're great, Mick, and thanks for coming on. It's always great to talk with you. No kidding.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Right. Thanks, Mick.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Chances are you'll be able to see him. Won't you be vacationing in Lutherville?
And Timonium.
Yeah, well, I know you like to split the time between both of your
A-frames. Oh, man, those are the vacation hotspots.
They are great.
Which is better, Lutherville or Timonium? Why pick?
It's like picking a favorite child.
You know, I said to Rob, while Mike was talking to Mick Foley, I said, go get the Harry Potter book for me. Give me a book. And then I just turned to Rob and I said, give me another book. I don't care what it is.
And that's the book he
of course. Right.
Give me the book. That one. And...
Hitler's raid to save Mussolini. The most infamous commando operation of WW2.
That's the book he gives
me. These are the books that I get sent.
Send all the copies out to the retarded service vet that Don was talking about earlier.
The retarded human shields.
retarded human shields. The new technique in the war.
Every army needs
the war against terror.
All right, that's Mick Foley. Mankind, he's a pretty great guy. We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
I must not scream. I must not scream in front of them. I must say, I must not listen to my mind. I must not run off the set. I must not run. I must not run. I know I'll break down. They'll find out I'm weak. They'll find out I'm in pain. Oh, God. What God? I will break down, look like a fool, an idiot. They'll find out I can't act. Can't act at all. End of the vision. Well, there must be a way out. And my mind is telling me there's a way out. You get a nice, cool gun.
We'll talk with Phyllis Diller and continue with our panel right after this. Don't go away.
The Don and Mike Show. They are never deficient in vitamin love. Don and Mike.
That's true. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, the legendary Joe Artinger, with you on this fine, fine Monday afternoon. Don and Mike return tomorrow, Tuesday, from their brand new studios in Rockville. Maryland, and but today I'm with you here at 10800 Main Street Fairfax for the last day of Best Of. So let's get right back into it. And I love segments like this. It's Pumps and Drunks Phone Scan on the Best of Don and Mike.
I love Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hey, how are you today?
We're doing great, thanks.
Oh, that's great. Hey, I'm on your website. I'm trying to get the photos of Batman and Robin. What do I click on?
Oh, he told you already.
What do you click on?
What do you click on?
Again, to make it painfully easy, painfully obvious for those of you who don't understand English, when you go to the front page,
yeah.
Click on Daily Logs.
Daily Logs.
You're familiar with the Daily Logs.
You can't do that to me today.
DMR.
You can't. You just, Rob, you cannot do that to
You're
me
such
today.
A great target today.
I know I am.
Can I say one thing?
Just when we get a caller that calls in and all Rob will do, and when, funny people are just funny. That's all. And Rob will just go, rah, rah, rah.
That's how this guy talks. Say something, sir.
Okay.
Click on Daily Log.
DNM Archives, Daily Log.
And then click on today's date, which is 8/22.
Alrighty.
Okay?
Thank you.
On August,
you.
And then on 8/22.
Bye-bye.
That's not easy.
Hello there, Don and Mike. Should I sound like a monster, like in a movie? Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
What?
Hey, I've got questions. Probably directed toward Buzz. Because I know.
Hold on. Now, let me explain something about Rob, too. Now, Rob could easily do the exact same thing with this caller. He knows that it would be overkill, but he wants to do it badly with you,
yes,
too, sir.
I do.
Now, your phone was breaking up. What can we do for you?
Don, I've got my friend sitting in the next room listening to the show, and I think she's so hot, and I'm doing like a live over the air type thing to her, and she doesn't know I'm out here talking to her.
Wait, what are you talking? You've got a hot woman in the next room?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's actually my girlfriend's best friend.
Is she tied up?
What?
Do you have her bound?
Oh, yeah.
Did you pay in advance?
What's that?
Did you pay in advance?
Can you pay?
No, I paid in advance. Yes, I paid in advance.
Just slow down for one second. There's a chick in the other room who's listening to you on the radio now.
Yeah, it's actually my girlfriend's best friend.
Okay, and you think this will help you what? Get into her pants?
Possibly.
Now, when you say the next room, you're in the same house?
No, yeah, she's...
No. Are you lying or
it's
what?
It's either no or yeah.
I'll walk in and she'll say hi. Hold on. Kelly.
Have the lamb stop screaming.
Kelly.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, you're not in a well, are you?
No,
that's not that.
Drinking.
Oh, and then he grabbed the phone again.
We've been drinking. Not abscess, but we've been drinking.
That's not that poor girl from Aruba, is it?
Natalie Holloway? Did you have Natalie Holloway there? How long ago did you give her the roofies?
No, we were just a couple assets from Sacramento, California.
Well, now, what is your mission? What are you trying to accomplish?
You know, the heat-seeking moisture missile.
Well, I just don't want my girlfriend to know that her friend is here right now.
So you called the radio.
Why don't you put put your girlfriend's best friend back on the phone?
Yeah, put her on the line and don't take the phone away from her until we tell her to give it to you.
Okay, hold on a second.
Very good.
All right, let's talk to this lucky lady.
Hello?
All right, here's the first thing, honey. Jesus Christ, you got to have the pill. I hope you have the pill or a condom. Tell me you've not had sex with this retarded guy yet.
No.
Okay, great.
Now, what are you two doing, and where is his girlfriend?
Oh, I can't say that.
What do you mean you can't say that? She's not there?
She's not there.
No.
Are you attracted to this lummox?
Yeah, he's hot.
So, do you want to have sex with him?
Yeah, of course. So what?
Well, why don't you go ahead then? How close to the girl are you? Are you best friends? Are you
acquaintances?
Best is the best.
You're best friends.
Oh.
You're absolutely best friends.
Uh-huh.
And you don't care that... I guess you don't care.
You're going to have to face her at some point.
Jesus Christ.
You never know.
Can I ask a favor?
Uh-huh.
Is there a chance you could turn down the radio just a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, turn the radio down, because we're having trouble understanding you here.
All the way down.
Although I'm not sure that'll help.
It might not. I want to find out about, for this guy, even though he's an asshat, I'd like to find out if perhaps the two of them.
I guarantee this girl on the phone, she's so stupid, she's got to be hot. She's like Paris Hilton hot.
How old are you, lady?
Super hot.
Yeah, I know. That's a good answer. How old are you?
25.
Okay. How did you do? Did you go to college?
Yes.
How'd you do?
Because evil Rob.
Awesome.
Really? What was your major?
Awesome.
Business.
Sucking.
Her.
Business. Sucking.
Business.
That's what she got her major in, sucking.
Would you consider a threesome with this guy?
Yep.
Handy.
Definitely.
Yes.
Why not?
Sure, she screamed with stupidity.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Miss Receptacle 2000.
She resembles Pam Pump.
I knew Pump was coming.
The Village Pump.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
The celebrity I most resemble.
Yes.
Don't answer a question with a question, please.
All she got.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo.
And the guy, he's got to look like Kevin Federline, right?
Yeah.
Like Britney's husband?
Does he have any facial hair?
More like Carrot Top.
More like Carrot Top.
Don't let him answer for you. That's not helping your cause.
I know. He's helping you.
I tell you what. Are you guys both of legal age?
Obviously. 25.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what about him?
How old is he?
I want to make sure you're like not one of these sexy school teachers I keep hearing about. How old is he?
25.
Can I make a guess? That 25-year-old gentleman, does he have wispy facial hair?
Does he? Do you know what the word wispy means?
No.
You don't.
No.
Of course not.
No.
Where'd you go to college again?
Do you have the Brazilian wax?
Good question.
Hello?
Yes. Oh, you broke the rule.
Dummy.
You took the phone away from her.
Dummy. No, she gave it to me.
No, but she was...
I thought she might have asked. What?
Everybody, quiet. I want to ask this guy a serious question.
Okay.
Now, this is just between you and I.
Okay.
Seriously, what are the chances you get into her pants today?
What? Say again?
What are the chances that you get into her pants today?
I'd say pretty well.
I'd say 20 minutes.
Really? So the chances are pretty good?
Let's whisper.
The chances are pretty good.
The chances are pretty good.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what's the chance that you're gonna nail her today?
Maybe 11.
Yeah.
Wow. Biggest number he knows.
Yes.
Do you have a rubber?
Yeah. Well, of course.
Do you have wispy facial hair?
Good question.
Yes, I do. It's really, you know, tough.
Who do you think will be better in bed, your girlfriend or her best friend?
I think they might be equally as well, so I think I should have them
equally as
at
well.
The same time.
And also, he's drifting away from whispering.
Yeah. I know.
He can't even do it.
I know.
We were supposed to keep our voices down so your girlfriend wouldn't hear this.
Does your girlfriend's best friend have a boyfriend?
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Does he have wispy facial hair?
Stop it with the wispy facial hair.
That's the Federline thing. Rob's absolutely spot on with that.
Although now I'm going to change my picture, my mental picture of this guy. I'm going to go more Crispin Glover.
Oh,
you really think
that is
an incredible indictment?
I'm going to go like a little and Crispin Glover in Willard.
Wow. That's quite a jump.
Where Crispin Glover is at his all time Crispin Gloveriest.
Yeah.
Good comeback.
How are you?
I'm loving it.
How are you gonna make the move?
I think I already have, man. Yeah, I think she might.
How?
As a matter of fact, I might walk out there right now. She might be getting ready.
Why don't you walk out there and ask her to take her clothes off?
No, I've got a better idea. Hold on. Before you do that, I've got an even better idea. Now, since we are on the homoerotic theme today, why don't you just, while we're on the phone
with
you...
Who's on the homoerotic theme?
Because of the Batman stuff.
Homo!
Why don't you simply take...
No homos here.
No, this will impress her. Why don't you take everything off that you're wearing right now and walk into the other room completely naked and see what her reaction is? Will you do that? Will you do that for us?
Yeah, most definitely. I'll do that, and I'll just leave my shoes on there.
That's nice.
All right. Tell us when you're ready.
Just my socks and shoes.
And stop talking and, you know, take your clothes off and go. Because this has the chance of her maybe screaming and running away.
Or having him arrested.
And you want to go in with the right attitude below the belt, if you know what I'm saying.
You know,
I myself, I'm not a fan of soft ice cream.
You know what I'm saying?
You think he can do that, though?
I'm not sure he cannot do that.
I think most retarded guys...
Okay, everything's off.
Most retarded guys walk around aroused all the time.
I'm walking in.
All right.
I'm walking in.
Listen.
Everything's off. Everything's off, and I'm walking in.
Except the radio. The radio's gone.
Turn the radio down.
Gone. What the hell did you guys do to her? She's gone.
Oh, she left?
She's gone.
Was she ever really there? Well, we talked to her. I think she was a human.
You were talking to my digital recording machine.
So are you, like, standing in that room naked now with no woman?
That's standing on the room naked.
You should have caught this. Okay.
You know what? Phone number and call her.
She might be in the front yard.
Hold on a second, Rummy. What did you say?
I don't know. Wait.
Hey, your radio is still turned up. Turn your damn radio down.
The radio.
Okay, good. Yeah, I walked out there, and she's not up there anymore.
Yeah, we heard. Why don't you walk out into the front yard?
Okay.
What did you say about calling somebody?
Calling someone? Who do you want to call?
Are you on a cordless phone right now?
You said.
No, I'm on my cell phone.
You're on your cell phone. All right, then walk into the front yard, and if you don't see her in the front yard, just keep running.
Well, I got to put my pants back on.
No, you don't.
No.
Go out there.
I live in condos. My neighbors might flip out.
What's the girl's first name? What's the whore's first name? The pump.
Say it again?
What's the new pump's first name?
Kelly.
What is Shelly?
Shelly?
Yeah.
Okay, and what's your girlfriend's name?
Kelly.
Okay,
Hold on, he just gave you the same name for both girls.
What is
they both have the same name. What a coincidence.
No, you're lying. You are a born liar.
I swear to you, I don't even put that on my mantle.
I don't even think you're naked right now.
I never thought he was naked. I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
God, I don't want that.
Keep hope alive.
I wanted that so bad.
And you know what?
Hey.
Even though he's retarded, he doesn't walk around with...
No.
Aroused state all the time, like most good retarded people do.
The good ones.
So where has Kelly number two?
I like licking windows, too. Don't get mad at me.
Where has she vanished to? Where did she go?
I have no idea.
She's running down the street right now going, a madman has kept me in his basement for weeks.
She's probably calling my girlfriend.
This is another reason the story doesn't wash.
This guy's a liar. She's probably calling my boyfriend. That's not my girlfriend. That's not true.
Could this guy be outmitted?
I hope not.
Listen, the story doesn't wash, and neither do the girlfriends.
No, of course not.
Kelly and Kelly.
The pumps. Kelly Pump.
What's your name? What's your name, sir? Kelly?
Going KP duty. Kelly Pump.
Yeah, what is your first name?
I wipe him with baby nights. It wipes every night.
Shut up. What is your first name?
Joe.
Naturally.
Joe. All right, Joe.
So the chick is not there.
I could be a phone screener for you guys, too.
He is drunk. I'll tell you that.
Kelly number two is not there.
No, it's just Joe Pump.
You don't know where, Kelly went.
Joe Pump.
No, I don't.
And is she hotter than your girlfriend?
They're... equally as hot.
Joe, if you had to pick one of the Kelly pumps, which would you pick? Who's the one you'd really like to pump?
Well, the other Kelly, of course. I've never been with her yet.
Yeah.
Never been with her yet.
The unconquered Kelly. Yeah, but she obviously fled when she heard that we were asking you to take your clothes off.
Probably.
I am guessing that you're an accomplished lover.
I'm an accomplished lover.
Can you tell me where Kelly, your girlfriend's G-spot is?
What?
Where your girlfriend, Kelly, the one you've had relations with, where's her G-spot?
Yes, my girlfriend Kelly, where I have relations with, her G-spot.
You're done. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's not it.
I didn't think he was coherent enough to give us an answer. He gave us an answer that was about 80 miles.
It was the fleshy freeway.
Yeah.
South of the area. That's where it was. And we've had that lady on. What the hell was her name? That actually gave us so many.
Dr. Natasha Terry.
Yeah. I think we all liked her, didn't we?
One last question. The Kelly that got away, had she been drinking?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, well, that'll be
good. Where do you think she went?
I have no idea, but we went out to lunch with my girlfriend, Kelly, this other Kelly, and we were drinking beers there. And then
Which
we came
Applebee's?
Back to the house. No, not at Applebee's.
Where did the girlfriend, Kelly, have to go? Back to work?
She had to go back to work, yes.
And what does she do?
She's a whore.
She,
Exactly.
She's a streetwalker, phone sex girl.
They're
and what do you do, sir?
Me?
He's an animal walker.
Doesn't have to be dogs.
I'm a goat herder.
He's an animal walker.
All right. I wear rubber boots all day.
Rubber balls and liquor.
All right. There you go.
I never thought I'd say this. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Happy hunting.
Bye, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Another great Joe.
Wow.
Hello, Don, and Mike's show.
I did enjoy that, and I feel guilty.
Don't, Mike. Hello.
Donald E. McGill.
Yes,
please,
hold on.
Let guys like that call, please.
What?
I'm in Northern California. I can form proper sentences. I don't get drunk.
You know what that is? That's the guy who just has taken the whole Sacramento thing to heart.
I like the idiot from Sacramento. It actually it actually made me feel better about that area of the world.
Don and Mike, hello.
Just jealous.
Hello there.
Hello.
You're on the air.
I was here's a neighbor. You know, I was waiting outside. So she already ran away. I was ready to go in. You know, I tried.
Hold it. This is Peter. I'll tell you, we've had a lot of bad phone scans. This one, we're hitting the home run.
It's just two in a row. Here we go. Now, what time did you start drinking today? Hello?
I believe this may be a language barrier also, Doug.
No. I start drinking 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
And are you Russian?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See, I would have guessed a Hispanic.
Right, and so when he said 11 o'clock. Where are you from? Where are you from in the former Soviet Union? You're from Germany. You're not from Russia.
No.
He's German.
Yeah.
Which is great if we know.
So she ran away. She drove very fast. I think that cop was following her on the street.
John,
tell him he watch TV. Maybe it's on the news.
This may be a legitimate drunk German.
Mm-hmm. I think it is. Do you feel bad about all the awful things your country did?
Yes.
Good. Would you please right now say screw Germany?
Screw Germany.
Where are you?
Screw everybody.
Where are you from in Germany, sir?
Munich, sir.
Excellent. Munich. And how do you say Munich in German?
Munich.
Wrong. Oh. It's München.
Yeah.
Do you remember
Meineke?
Do you remember the sunnier days?
No, sir. No.
Good times. Yeah. Good times. Good times. Good times. What do you think is the worst moment?
Hey, Don, I love you.
Listen to that Russian love.
Everyone's got a favorite.
I'm confused about the German thing.
What do you be that drunk?
What do you think both the highlight and the lowlight of the history of Germany are? I only ask because
we'll go for the highlight. We'll go for the highlight first.
Ask because you're German and you're drunk.
Sometimes it's the same thing.
What's the greatest thing in your
You're a mind reader.
In your
country, I told you that, Creston?
In your country's history, what is the greatest thing?
The greatest thing, they drink beer all the time.
Drink beer. Right.
Yeah. Right. And what is the worst thing in the history of your country?
The worst thing, I hate Germany.
What?
That's why I got out from there.
He says Germany.
The worst thing is Germany.
What is the worst thing, though, about Germany?
Say it again?
What is the worst thing in history about Germany?
They kill a lot of people. They kill a lot of Jews.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
There you go. Good man. Very good. At least he's that clear thinking.
Very nice.
That's wonderful.
And
that's why I'm Robbie's friend.
Do we trust...
Now I'm thinking he's an Arab.
Do we trust Germany now?
No, sir.
That's right. And what's our motto? Never forget.
What's your first name, sir?
Paul.
Paul, can you repeat after me?
Sure, sir.
All right, just repeat this sentence. Don't say it until I finish the sentence. Say, my name is Paul from Germany. Never forget.
My name is Paul, Germany. Never forget Don and Mike show.
No. You're going to have to say, my name is Paul from Germany. Never forget, then pause, the Don and Mike show. Go.
My name is Paul. Never forget. Don and Mike show.
He'll never get it right.
How drunk are you? How long have you been drinking, Paul?
14. 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock. Mike I started before you, 1 hour before you.
Wow. He's busting my balls. I like that.
I was waiting for the show, but I can't wait another hour. I said, let's start it. I know you're going to drink today.
All right, Adolf, we got to fly. You made some good roads in the beginning. Thank you for your call. as your people say, Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen and good night, sir. Yeah.
Good night.
There you go.
Don't sleep through Oktoberfest.
Bye, Paul.
Bye.
There you go.
Wow. What a gift. A
couple of pretty good phone calls.
Absolutely.
We cool, Buzz?
Yeah, we're cool.
Are we cool?
Yeah.
Okay. I just double check with Buzz sometimes.
Everything all right?
Everything's
great.
Everything's fine, Mike.
Now I'm getting paranoid. What are you double checking with him for? Everything all right?
Everything's fine. Because I said something and wanted to make sure that it got out over the air.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because I missed it. Did I miss it?
You should be calling into the show today.
I must have missed it.
Not a big
hey, deal. Buzz, was it good?
It was all right. I'll fill you in the break.
Okay, good.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
When I was 17, I drank some very good beer. I drank some very good beer I purchased with a fake ID. My name was Brian McKee. I stayed up listening to Queen when I was 17.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like 15 inches of strap-on comedy.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike return tomorrow at 3 o'clock for your listening pleasure. Lots of stories from vacations. Whole gang back in a new studio in Rockville. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Artinger, with you broadcasting from 10800 Main for the last day. So let's get right back into the best of. This segment pretty much explains itself. It's Don talking about how Daddy has needs on the best of Don and Mike.
Yes, I'm talking to her, because I think I may have mentioned it to one of you guys as well, but I talk to Bart all the time, mm-hmm. and now I talk to Amy more and more and more, and I'm finding with the two of them, yeah, Bart's my son, Amy's my daughter, I'm finding that there are things that I can discuss with Amy because she's come and that play more of a part in my life recently, and there are things. I was chatting with her last night and mentioning something about how I missed Frida for whatever reason, and that I didn't see how my life was ever going to be the same. And then I just said to her, and I realized that, you know, I'm a father. I said, Jesus, Amy, how am I ever going to get laid again?
Wow. But she's older, right? She's older.
Yeah. She's 26.
Right.
And she said, don't feel bad about talking about that with me. We can talk about it. And I said, oh, God, I feel...
Yeah.
I feel oogie talking about it with you, and I don't know how it slipped out. But that's just one of the many thoughts that mm-hmm. goes through my mind. I mean, it's not paramount in my mind.
Of course.
But it's like...
But you're normal.
And I'm in no way looking to start a relationship with anybody because I'm still heartbroken about Frida. But listen, this is just a fact, and I was discussing it with the guys. I mean, I was with Frida for... We were married for 24 years, together for 25 years.
Right.
The love of my life.
Yeah.
Now... Let's say that I move past this somehow in the next, whatever people say, 6 months, a year, whatever
it is. Yeah.
You know, I got needs. Here's the thing. Here's how I feel right now, today, whatever today is, October 13th. I got needs. I want to get laid. But I don't want to have to make any small talk with anyone. Here's my point. Any chick that today, tomorrow, 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, whenever, down the road...
Right.
You're never going to get me. You're never going to get me because Frida's already got it. I mean, anything that I had to give as far as intellectual, mm-hmm. being a soulmate, caring about your feelings, wanting to talk about... here's the thing. Here's the biggest roadblock I see to getting laid as I think about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to involve talking to somebody.
Yeah, the
dinner.
I'm
not buying a whore. It's going to have to involve... And understand, I don't think this is going to happen for months, maybe a year. But I'm just thinking ahead.
Sure.
Already thinking. You know, there's many times I get mad about my situation with Frida. But this is really when I get the maddest.
Mm.
It's, you know, well, no, not really. There are times when I really get mad.
Right.
But it's like, put me in this freaking situation. You know how bad I am with people to begin with. You know, I can't stand going to a freaking function or anything without you. Now what the hell am I supposed to do? You know, she's the only one that I could talk to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what am I going to do? Meet a chick now? And again, months down the road. But, frankly, I don't care.
Well, you're feeling that way now.
Yeah, well, I will always.
You don't know how you always
feel. No, I will always feel that way. I'll tell you this.
You don't know how you always feel.
No, I do know this. Mike, I got lots of baggage. And I am never going to the only person I unloaded that baggage on was Frida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she with me. And even though she wasn't as screwed up as I was, trust me, she's like all chicks. Sure. There was a lot of stuff with Frida, but we had the relationship built up. And what I'm saying is, okay, in a dream world, they would at some point
you'd have a robot.
Yeah, there'd be a fembot somewhere.
Yeah, a fembot.
That I would just be able to keep in my closet and just press a button. And she'd come out and have sex with me, and then she'd go back in the closet.
There are, you know, nowadays, though, there are many more outlets where you could literally explain what you wanted, and
somebody
would
be okay with that.
No, I don't.
Someone that hears this right now could say, if that's all you want.
But I'm not ready for that now.
Understood.
Exactly.
Understood.
I'm not even ready for the sex right now.
You're thinking about when the time comes, and we're saying when the time comes, there might very well be somebody who fits that bill.
And I even feel almost bad and oogie talking about this because I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression.
Well, right.
That I miss my sweet Frida every freaking goddamn day. I mean, I could just spend all day talking to you about
You are very normal, and the difference where you are not normal is that you are talking about it on the radio, but you're experiencing things that I'm sure anyone that's gone through a similar situation would have the exact same feelings. Yep. And not only would they not say it on the radio, they would probably keep it to themselves personally, and they wouldn't really have the opportunity to talk about that type of stuff. Somebody told me that had been through a similar situation. Listening to you do this, when they listen to you talk about your situation, they empathize a lot, and they admire the fact that you share that because it, you know, for whatever, I know you're not doing this to help other people in similar situations.
No, I don't care about other people.
I know you.
I only care about myself.
I'm aware of that.
That's what I'm saying, like with the women. I only care about myself.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that, You're 46 years old.
I'm 47. Let's not undersell.
You're 47 years old.
I'm rapidly approaching 50.
Yes, as am I. You're 47 years old.
But I'm as horny as a 17-year-old. I've always been.
That's where you've also been a little abnormal, through, in my opinion, your whole life.
Hey, want to guess what my DirecTV bill was this month?
Oh, dear.
Do you want to guess?
The total bill, or just keep it over 100?
Now, keep in mind, that I have the package where I get every channel.
All the NFL games.
Well, now that's separate.
You're talking about just the monthly pay-per-views.
I normally pay, before I buy a pay-per-view or anything, it's something like $80 a month.
Right.
I get every channel on DirecTV. I was having a problem with my pay-per-views.
Right.
And I had to call DirecTV to find out why I couldn't just push select anymore.
Oh, okay, I know why.
I had to call.
I know why. I was there once.
Exceeded your credit.
I was there once. I know exactly. No, it's not that he exceeded his credit. It's that you ordered so many that they stopped you.
Yes. And
protect you from yourself.
They don't want to necessarily protect you. They want to check up on
you.
Though.
It's like fraud protection almost. Right. It's the MasterCard ad where you see it's the brother, the big fat black guy.
Right.
And he says, they don't ask me if I bought a surfboard in Waikiki. like why would a big fat brother like Al Roker be serving the same thing? So I call DirecTV.
Good.
And they say, well, frankly, we've noticed that over the last 90 days, we wanted to make sure that, and I'm talking about just from September 9th through last night. That's the billing cycle.
$150.
Mike, it's 80 to begin with.
$300.
You know what? I can, hold on.
I was going to say 300, so should I say 250 or 350?
You know, maybe I can actually pull it up, because I've not paid it yet. Maybe I can pull it up on the air.
Headphone system.
No, what? Hold on a second. If it just says, like, push 1 for English, right? 1-800-DIRECTV.
I'll say 250.
250?
Hold on.
1.
800
I hate this. Used to send me statements they don't. I don't know what I'm paying now.
Just one T in DirecTV.
Thank you for calling DirecTV.
Gotcha.
For English, press 1.
Thank you.
Calls may be monitored or recorded for quality.
Okay.
You already have DirecTV service, press 1.
I do.
Please enter your home phone number, starting with the area code.
Here we go.
You entered 7.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Wait till it gives my phone number.
La-la.
Ah,
if this is correct, press 1.
Here we go.
Warning.
Come on, big bucks. Now it'll say for...
If you have a 3-digit message or extension on your TV screen, enter it now. For account information and payment, press 1.
Mm-hmm. 1 month, less than a month.
Your account balance is $44.36.
You paid it.
This includes transactions since your last bill. Payment we received on your account was...
$303.17.
Mike
wins.
$300.
Wow.
Bravo. I guess I did pay it.
Man, oh, man, you could keep a horse for that much.
Now, you do the math on that. That's $80 for all the regular crap that I get. And it's $12.95 every time.
It averages out, in my opinion, to be about the 5 channels at least once per day. 3 hours of porn at least once per day. And I know you don't do it every day, so you're probably talking most days twice.
Sometimes before
maybe
work.
Days that you're completely free of it, but most days you do 6 hours of pornography a day.
Sometimes before work.
And you know, I know you don't watch it the whole time, but you have to say that to be fair. Because as soon as you plunk that $12.99 down, it's 3 hours of porn.
You're right. There's beautiful 500 channels.
And for my money, really, can I just sell DirecTV? Let's try to work on the quality a little bit, because your stuff is starting to be real garbage, real crap.
Still, it's cheaper than dating.
I believe so. And I don't have to talk to anybody.
Yes. There was one the other day that I saw that I thought was incredible. And you know what it was? It was one of those montages that they run in between.
Oh, that they run like from 20 after till the bottom of the hour when it was feature starts?
Yeah. And
yes. Not that I know it.
It was
verbatim.
It was a new one. Mm-hmm. And it was really, they had like moments where there were these really hot women. And then they'd cut away to another one and another one and another one. And it was just that montage. And then, you know, it fades out completely. And then it goes to something like, Barrio bitches. You know, give me a break. Really, amateur barrio bitches.
I'm on the phone with them last night. I can't. I'm trying to order a pay-per-view, and I don't want to tell her I'm a horn dog, right? She says, what are you trying to order?
It's great when it's a she.
She says, what are you trying to order? I said, Monster-in-Law. And, of course, with Jane Fonda.
Right.
No, I had no desire to see that.
Sure. Yeah, but you make that
she
up.
Says, what channel? I said, it's 125. Channel 125. She says, okay, let me click it, and it's an all-day ticket. It's there. And I said, okay, that's great. I didn't want Monster-in-Law. I said, so now can I just use the select button to order? And she said, can you hold, please? And then I got transferred to somebody else who said...
Hey, horn doggy.
Yeah, a guy who said... we just have this set up. We noticed a lot of activity on your account. And here's what I love. He said,
they know you.
He said, a lot of times when the parents go out of town, the children will buy. And we noticed an exceptionally large amount of purchases being made.
So we thought,
no.
And they know what they're talking about. They're not telling you, but they see it right in front of their computer
screen. They can see that. You know,
they see the $12.99.
I'm not buying Monster-in-Law.
No, they see the names.
I'm buying Barely Legal 5. or whatever. Jenna Takes a Bath.
That's a good one.
Booty Girls.
Jesus Christ. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, I just had a question for you, Don. Why, I know you're a wealthy man and everything.
Thank you. You're going to run him. Thank you. Beyond your wildest dreams.
Do you have a TiVo?
I have a high-def TiVo. Are you kidding me?
Well,
I do.
Why don't you just record the porn and then just resample it later?
Okay, that's an outstanding question. I'd be glad to give you an outstanding answer.
Yes? What is it?
First, a lot of the porn that I buy sucks.
Not that good. Terrible.
I don't want to keep it. Mm-hmm. And also, here's the thing. You never know when someone's going to come over and say, oh,
You got TiVo.
Yeah, let me see what's let's show you what's on the now playing.
You know, let's see what you got. And it's nice. You go there, you
and
go.
And TiVo wants you. I mean, DirecTV wants you to record their porn.
Yeah.
Because they give you that option
they
to buy and record.
To, yeah, and that's the first option, too. You know, they, but,
yeah.
You know, and you go to mine, and it would be like, oh, Late Show with David Letterman. Pardon the interruption. The Green Hornet, I got a season pass for the Green Hornet, and then it got it. Or
but the
like,
thing is,
Bungalow.
My machine, you can do a separate list and then hide that list, so it wouldn't necessarily be visible.
I don't want. Listen, besides, here's part of it.
Uh-huh.
I could. I
Hold
could,
on a second. You can
on my machine. Remember, I don't have TiVo. I have
oh,
their competitor.
Yeah, replay TV.
Here's
right.
the thing. I certainly could TiVo these.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But part of the fun of buying a pay per view. Is that you're getting a movie that you've not seen before.
And it's the surprise factor.
That's right. I mean,
and even if you TiVo'd it, you wouldn't, even under the best circumstances, you don't want to keep it on the same movie.
And if, yeah, if you,
you want to flip around and you don't want to sit there for 3 hours flipping around to the parts that you like.
Right.
That would require far too much self-control.
That's right. Thank you, Mike. You hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah, if you were like going out of the house at 12 noon and you went to what appeared to be like it might be a decent movie, then you could just, you know, TiVo and then look at it later. Then that has its advantages.
See, I will,
then you can go slow-mo.
Okay. Yeah, now you're creeping me out. Now you're creeping me out.
Oh, come on.
I don't want to.
It's fun.
I don't want to slow. Were you slow-mo on the money shot?
No.
No.
No. Slow-mo other things. Slow-mo the jiggle.
Can't talk to Don and Mike.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
It's great.
Hello. Hello.
Can't talk to Don? And Mike?
Yes, we're both here. I'm still getting over Mike slow-mowing the jiggle.
Slow-mo the money shot. It's disgusting.
Okay.
Who would do that?
He says with mock indifference. Like you've not lived for it. Do it in slow motion right now, you faggot. Jesus.
Can you see her just go?
How the hell am I supposed to that?
I'm sorry.
You know, at the end of a porno, that's where you really realize just what whores those girls are.
God bless them.
Because, you know, yeah, God bless
them.
Because normally at the end of a porno, it's like it ends like Mike just simulated, and she's always saying like, "Excuse me, do you have a towel or a handkerchief or something?" And you know, they show the guy just laying there like, "Oh, I would die for a sandwich right now, bitch." You know. Meanwhile, she's like, "Do you have an umbrella?"
Help me.
Hello,
Mike.
Hi.
You could save a fortune because what do you pay $12.99 for 3 hours?
Right.
You only need about 10 minutes.
Tell me.
So I mean, divide the 3 hours.
If you record one movie, it's probably not going to be that good.
You can't record all five that you're buying at once. And dude, when I buy the 3 hour package, I get my money's worth at least twice.
Okay, but I got the DVR, so you can set like two channels. So that's 6 hours.
Okay, hold on. You can't do that with high def. You can't do that with high def. You on TiVo, on high def TiVo, you can only record the channel that you're watching.
Mm-hmm, right.
And besides, I ordered the block that has five movies, and like Mike said, how do you know which one's going to be?
On a regular DVR for like DirecTV, you can record two channels simultaneously.
You know, yes. On my regular TiVo that we have in the other room,
right?
Sure, you can watch. You can, I think, maybe TiVo two shows while you're watching a third.
That's right. That is correct.
On a regular TiVo,
right.
And then hide them?
Double your value.
Oh, you can hide them.
Yeah.
You can't hide them.
Well, and maybe I haven't looked at TiVo.
I'm not doing this.
Maybe they have the hidden menu.
It's labor intensive. Do the same thing. And you like the surprise.
Yeah, right.
It's like to grab it. If you get disappointed and you get a little angry, that's the worst thing that can happen. Have you ever been so angry that you really, I mean, you were ready to, and you didn't because it was just so bad?
Nothing on.
That's a very big disappointment.
You know,
very, very rare.
And that's tough when you're going through five channels.
I know.
And you are ready.
The channels don't count. At least during the day, they don't.
Okay,
count.
First off, I call it atmosphere. You call it a taste of
spice. I call it what it is. It's a taste of spice.
That channel sucks, and also the Playboy channel sucks.
But I will tell you that atmosphere occasionally can surprise you.
No.
Just on the pure quality of women.
Atmosphere is this. It's just chicks, some of them beautiful, just posing.
Yep.
It's like naked chicks just walking
and
around.
And sometimes it's good enough.
It's a good start.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's good enough, but...
But Playboy Channel during the day, pretty much useless. It's that softcore porn.
Playboy Channel always...
Not at night. Late at night, Playboy Channel.
You keep later hours than me when I'm there?
I stepped it up.
The only shot you get is the back of her head.
No. Yeah, late at night.
You know what I'm saying.
And you know something? Late at night, Playboy kicks it in with brand new stuff. Better stuff than you would get on the other channels.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm a pretty good connoisseur myself. You remember those days we talked about my bill?
I know.
I remember I won.
I know you did.
It's the clear leader.
I know.
It's a ripoff. We can agree on that, right? It's a ripoff.
Absolutely. Well, you know,
$12.99 for 10 minutes.
Not really. I mean, if you really stop and think about it, especially now, you know, that I don't have Frida, you know, it's like $12 to get laid. I mean, that's cheaper than Applebee's.
Yeah, you're right.
So sure.
Don't have to leave the driveway.
That's right.
This is true.
Curbside service.
Wonderful.
Oh, bring it right. Bring it right. Oh,
right on.
Right to me. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
You're getting porn in high def?
No,
you have a high def. They do have sometimes.
They do on Friday and Saturday night. God, I'm not Mr. Expert.
No, see, that I didn't know.
On Friday and Saturday nights, from 9 until midnight, Spice does run $5.96. It's all high def.
And they were actually recorded in high def? They're not just...
Yes, correct.
Wow.
Wow, that sounds really both intriguing and repulsive.
I agree with that caller.
Exactly.
I totally agree with that caller.
I gotta wash my hands.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you for calling the district's 911 emergency number. All of our operators are tied up at the moment, but if you'll just wait, we'll be right with you. Once again, thank you for calling Washington, D.C.'s 911 emergency number. Someone will be with you shortly. The district government reminds you to keep Washington beautiful. Someone will be with you in a moment. Please hold.
The Don and Mike Show. The enemies of whatnot. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
That's right. Enemies of whatnot return tomorrow, Tuesday, July 11th, from their new studios in Rockville, Maryland. I'm your legendary host, Joe Artinger, with you on this fine Monday afternoon, broadcasting from the old dingy studios at 10800 Main Street in Fairfax, Virginia. But we've had such a great time today with our best stuff, haven't we? Yes, we have indeed, and it doesn't stop. Time for a hodgepodge, Don's Packet. Now, Don's Packet is a list of things he wants to go through every day. Some of it's general interest, entertainment, all that good stuff, and it's right here for you on the best of Don and Mike.
National nightmare is finally over.
Really?
Tara Reid is admitting, yes, she has had implants.
Well, about time. God bless her.
Today.
Glad she cleared that up. I'm so happy for her.
I know for Buzz and I, this is going to stop endless phone calls that have been going on for years now where it's, you know, they're fake.
She just won't admit it.
Okay, keep thinking that. They're real.
I know.
Let me see. The scars circumventing the nipples were not enough to convince a lot of people. It was not until, I guess, this picture that's on our website rotated around the world and people figured out that she was full of saline, and now she's decided what the hell.
And not a particularly good job. You know, if it had been a good job, there might not have been as much speculation.
And here now is an exclusive interview with Tara Reid's breast.
Oh!
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Terry.
Appreciate that.
Oh, that was just the left one.
And now the right one.
A little different.
There you go.
They don't get along.
They don't.
Different
now,
pitch.
And now both of them push together. Don't we have... Hold on a second. No, Jack, where's the other one? So I can have the two of them talking to each other. Here we go.
Good.
Hey, look at him. Look at him eyeballing each other.
You're listening to Tara Reid's breasts. Talk to each other. You know, if we're really nutty, we do Tara Reid's breasts talking to Napoleon Dynamite, talking to Rosie O'Donnell on the bus. Buzz,
Then we'd all have severe headaches when we went home.
Let me see. Michael Morris, fat.
Yeah, well, I knew that.
This is a bulletin to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Moore is so fat that he is not doing the stomach stapling.
Okay.
He is not working out.
What's he doing?
He's going to a Pritkin Longevity Center. Longevity Center and Spa, which is a big, nice, long title for a fat farm.
Yeah, a fat farm.
For very rich people.
Okay.
It costs $5,000 a week.
Wow.
They're going to teach Michael Moore an entirely new approach to eating and exercise.
Good.
So that he never has to diet again.
He will be the kind of guy, don't you think, that, you know how you have some people that lose the weight, they look fantastic. Then you have other people that lose a lot of weight and they've got that skin deal
where
the skin just hangs off of the, yeah, like Al Roker. And I think Michael Moore is going to be one of those guys where he's got a lot of excess skin.
Yes. And also just with Michael Moore's whole rap about, even though he is a millionaire, he should keep this on the download, this whole thing that he's... Because you know, isn't he the guy like, you know, send me money because I can't, I need money,
oh, yeah.
I need money to get my anti-Bush picture made.
Well,
and,
he's the classic anti-establishment gadfly. I mean, he is the guy that goes around and questions the man.
Can I just stop you? Gadfly?
Gadfly, thank you.
Gadfly?
Gadfly.
Use it in a sentence.
He is an anti-establishment gadfly. He's a troublemaker, and he's a good troublemaker, and now he's succumbing to
gadfly
to the Hollywood thing. That's what he's doing now.
God damn it, gadfly!
What's that, Buzz? Do we have a dictionary definition of gadfly?
We will in a second.
Is that $5,000 a week? Does that include meals?
No, it's like Jenny Craig.
All you can eat buffet.
Your meals are extra.
Hello.
Hey, put Joe on.
Okay, hold a second.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Helen.
A persistent, irritating critic. A nuisance.
Oh, first let's check in with Tara Reid's left breast.
Good.
And her right breast. Joe, be honest with me. I think that you're probably the person mentally that I'm closest to on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know what gadfly means?
I had a basic idea of what it means.
Once again, I'm eked out.
You think I was aiming too high with gadfly?
I'm the dumbest guy on the show. How can it be that I'm standing here, but I'm the dumbest guy on the show?
You knew what gadfly
was. No, I swear to Christ, I
really
didn't know.
Didn't either, honestly. I've heard the word many times, and like Joe, just figured it out from context.
Well, it's in the newsletter. Nobody knew?
I didn't know.
Oh, I'm sorry for using that
gossip
word.
Columns.
You there you go. You know what that is, Mike?
What's that?
You know what that is? Okay, how many times you got to shove it in my face, okay?
Yeah.
College boy?
Yeah.
College boy?
Yeah, just call me the professor.
Privileged college boy? Your parents sent you to that fabulous American University.
Oh, my.
Joe even made Joe laugh.
There. Yeah. That's me.
I thought it was a bug.
Gadfly.
I'm kind of bug. Shoofly gadfly.
What was it again, Buzz?
A persistently irritating person, a nuisance, and it is also a kind of horsefly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Very good.
Okay. Bye, mm-hmm. Joe.
Good day.
Good day.
I ain't never
You know, Don,
see a gadfly.
Whenever I have the opportunity to educate,
I try
to do that. I really do.
You got the double E's going today, educate and entertain.
But he has lost the title of gadfly now that he's going to the fat farm. Because that's what Hollywood elite do. That's what they do. As a matter of fact, I'll probably be going to the fat farm.
Tara, how's your right breast?
How
about your left breast?
Good.
Okay. How about south of the border?
Oh, that's unfortunate.
No surprise.
Yeah, no surprise. Yeah.
Couple gadflies.
Oh, you yeah, there's some gadflies down there. That's frightening.
Big horse flies.
They're attracted to that area.
Hello. Not in my show. Hello.
Hey, Mo Rocca refers to himself as a cultural gadfly.
Well, there you go. Now, that's another smart guy like Mike.
Who?
That guy, Mo Rocca from the Rocca from
Daily
the
Show?
Daily Show guy.
Ah, see, I didn't know who he was.
No.
I didn't know. I see.
All right, well, you know what that is?
Is that even? Are we even now?
Well, that's I'm smart about stupid things,
right?
And you're smart about smart things.
Yeah.
And who is that in the background?
It's my daughter.
Oh, how old is she?
Eight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that means only 10 years until she could become an exotic dancer. I have a story for Boar, a gadfly.
Right on stage with Mike's daughters.
And speaking of, I will have a great story for you and your daughter, and for Mike and his daughters.
What is, and you know, really, once again, the kick me sign still exists.
Yeah, a little bit, it seems to be there,
You know, there I was sitting over here minding my own business.
Not hurting anybody.
And he lashes out at my daughters right away. I don't understand.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Don and Gadfly.
Don and Gadfly, yeah.
Don and Gadfly with a kick me sign in his back today.
So even us hillbillies up in East Bum F, Maine know what gadfly is.
Yeah, Maine is your...
well, of course. You know, Maine's your elitist snob area of the United States.
No,
come on, don't tell me that, please.
It's the gadfly state, Don.
Yeah. Tell me.
That's the motto.
I'm Kenny Buckport.
It's on the license plate.
Hold on a second. Here's a list for you. Now, they're really running out of stuff with this thing. It's Spin Mag. I love Spin Magazine only because they give out the list, like, of the 8,000 worst rock albums of all time or the 50,000 greatest makeout songs of all time. But they're really running out of criteria for a good list now.
I get the other magazine. No spin. Who's looking out for you, Rob?
Everybody is.
Right.
Where's the best? You know, the best. You know, we got to get a system. The best one has always been right there.
Where it should be right here.
I saw it. I saw abortion. I saw it
in your sleep. No, that's not it. You know,
we're looking for a tape from a right-thinking American.
Well,
way
it has
right.
Been moved. You're right.
Yep. You know what? I hate that.
He's a conservative gadfly, you know. Yes.
That Bill O'Reilly abortion tape is one of our best.
Sure it is.
Where was it?
It was under gadfly.
Have a happy abortion for Christmas.
Oh, there you go. So here's what Spin Magazine has come up with.
Yeah, all right.
A list of the best, the most incredible rock star body parts.
Oh, okay. I know the obvious that jumps to mind, right?
Right, of course. Tommy Lee's pleasure stick.
Exactly.
That's there. Now, they have Madonna's belly button.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Stipe's skull. His skull, they also considered Moby and Sinead O'Connor. Also, you have Elvis Presley's pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Simmons' tongue. Turner's legs. 50 Cent's chest. And Bruce Springsteen's ass.
Mick Jagger's lips aren't on there?
No, but the liver of Keith Richards is. That's where they're being funny.
So nice to be on the ass. Look at my liver.
What was the thing, Rob, that he's not going to be in the new Johnny Depp movie? Is that the latest on him?
They wanted him for Pirates of the Caribbean 2.
Yeah.
Couldn't get him because he's on tour.
Oh.
They're hoping for 3.
Hey, the opening concert at Fenway Park, my niece went to that concert. Was it ever reported in the news that about the kid that the woman?
Lady.
That climbed the scaffolding?
Lady.
He said they were watching that. They were at the concert watching it. And I guess the Stones didn't realize it was happening.
Right.
While they were on stage,
she
and
fell 40 feet
and broke both her ankles and her arm, was not killed, but everybody thought she was killed. She was so far up there, right?
Yeah, it was not really a big story around here, but it was around. Yeah.
Well, the gadflies liked it.
Sure.
Yeah. The gadflies truly dug it. They really did.
I swear to God. Not only did I not know what the word meant, I can't even be on, like the other guys who say, I kind of had a
tertiary. You've read the word in the newspaper probably a million times.
Gad. I can't imagine. I've read fly.
Mm-hmm.
I've never read gadfly.
Right.
Never. Never in my life.
You've never heard it?
No, never. Never. I've not lived the sheltered life that you've lived.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, spin doctor. You didn't read The Great Gadfly?
No, I didn't. You know, I wasn't out there with Mumsy having tea, you know, wearing my short shorts and my Buster Brown.
Yeah, I knew the word gadfly when I was basically in the French the French Empire.
Weren't they screaming it as you played croquet?
Yes, on the lawn with the peasants' heads.
Baba,
Oh, father.
Yes.
Mother. Mother.
Don't criticize your porridge. Stop being such a little gadfly.
Where's my little gadfly, Michael Sean Penn?
This is good because I am perceiving the audience doesn't hate me enough today. So I think this will kick me right over the top by making me the elitist snob that I am.
You are being overly sensitive.
That's right. Just like the callers.
I am simply.
And now here you are agreeing with the audience, and this is perfect. And now I am the gadfly.
The audience ain't here. It's just
me
and you.
Now I'm feeling slightly paranoid already today, and now the short pants. And the little blue boy, it's working perfectly.
Now you had to mention the magazine, didn't you?
Blue boy. You remember when I was forced into that, and it was very frustrating.
It was hot gadflies.
My privileged lifestyle.
Attention.
Wonderful.
Are you into hot gadfly boys?
You know, listen, the reason I knew it, the gadflies was the name of my high school.
What?
The gadflies.
In your high school what?
The high school polo team that I played on.
Is that water polo?
No, it was actually really polo on horses.
Don and Mike.
Lots of fun.
How's Ralph Lauren, Mike?
He's right there. I'm going to Tommy Hilfiger's house.
Tom! How's old Sarge Shriver?
Oh, he's fantastic. I like to visit him with my mummy because we're so wealthy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Mother!
Gadfly. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike show.
Is this Joe or is this Don and Mike?
Oh, my God. You are no gadfly. Get out of here, please. You dumbass. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, gadfly line.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Pardon me, sir, but my meat curtains hurt.
Man, that's disturbing on a couple of different levels.
Playlet.
Not the least of which is the voice.
Bad.
Yes. Very bad.
Very bad.
Very, very bad.
Here's a reality show that I don't think will ever make it in America, but not because it's not such a great idea. Let me see. Amsterdam is where Big Brother came from.
Okay.
Big Brother, I think, sucks. I mean, I try to watch it.
You watched it in its inaugural season.
I like the first two or three years. I think really the best reality show is The Amazing Race.
Mm-hmm.
All of the rest kind of come and go. The Amazing Race seems to me to be the one that's got legs.
But nothing
intended.
Will ever... except when it had the little sisters there.
Yeah. The midget girls.
No, the one midget girl.
Oh yeah, well,
what
yeah.
were their names? I forgot. They had famous names too. They were the famous reality, so
Itzy
nobody knows
Itzy
that.
And,
wasn't it Myrna?
Myrna and Shmurna.
No. I think wasn't the wee one called Myrna?
The wee one.
And I liked it because she had to run so much.
That's right.
Remember when she carried the meat?
Do I?
Funny. Watching midgets run. Funny.
With meat.
50 pounds of meat.
That season of the show had little legs.
Hello, Don and Mike.
The Amazing Race.
Hello. Oh, God damn, that radio's up loud. Hello.
Yeah, hey, how's it going? I wanted to defend Mike's use of gadfly.
All right, go ahead. I need the defense of gadfly, even though I've now forgotten what it means.
Well, I think in college he figured out that when you're at a colloquial nader, you have to alter your paradigm in order to use such semantic terms as gadfly.
Mike, okay, I hope you're happy.
Yeah, there's my people. There are my peeps.
There's another
my peeps, my homies.
Look, there's another. There's another one of your guys. There's Tara Reid's breast.
Don, I think I studied philosophy with him at the University of Privilege.
UP.
Go Privilege.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, Mike, you elitist. Do you call Carla Lovey?
Oh, Lovey?
Lovey, yes, Lovey, I do. Yes. As a matter of fact,
Mike,
and I wear,
just,
I wear
just
an ascot.
Like Thurston Howell.
Yes, uh-huh. And I wear the ascot. Looks and I have a great time. It's wonderful. But we're going to go yachting this weekend. It's going to be fabulous.
Like the cap.
Okay, here's the reality show from Amsterdam. That is a huge hit. They will not bring it over to America, but it is the number one show currently in Amsterdam. The show is called I Want Your Child... And nothing else. It's a woman.
Sounds scary.
It's a woman who wants to have a baby.
Oh, okay.
And every week on the show...
I thought the children had already been born.
No.
That was scary.
Huh? Every week on the show, she goes and meets another guy. And at the end of 5 or 6 weeks, after she meets 30 guys, she picks the one that's going to fill the turkey baster. And what they do is they inseminate her, and this will be done on television. And then what?
Too bad I'll miss this show this weekend.
What?
While I'm yachting in the reflecting pool.
I don't know what that means.
They will show the woman picking the man. Mm-hmm. Then they will show, and I don't know how they're going to show this on regular TV.
Right.
They're going to show her actually being inseminated, and the joke. Not
but
joke,
he's not going to do it, right? No. It is turkey baster time.
Yes. The hook of the show is that each of the 30 guys is going to give a sample of his stuff.
Wow.
After meeting each of the 30 guys, she's going to select the guy. They're going to show it on TV with the turkey baster. And then for the next 9 months, the 30 guys, she's not going to tell which one of them is the father of the baby. It's become the biggest hit in Australia. We're trying to get the woman, who is now, I believe, 5 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
On the show. She has only been identified as, and this is the way it's spelled, Jessica.
Okay.
It's not Jessica, and I'm like being funny, going, where is Jessica? Yeah, her name is Jessica.
And will the guy that actually is finally told that he's the father, will the guy win anything besides the knowledge that he has to support
the
kid?
No. This is what's great about the show. The guys have all signed agreements saying that they don't want anything to do. All they wanted to do was just have a baby, that they don't want to necessarily be the father, that if they want to walk away and don't want anything to do with her,
they can.
Yeah, and then the climax, if you'll pardon of the show, will be when the woman, and they're going to try to actually induce labor so that 9 months from now, she gives birth live on the air in the middle of stunt week.
What will the guy get that is the other than the knowledge that he was her favorite?
That's it. I think he gets
and no kind of prize or cash or anything like that.
He gets $100,000.
Okay. All right. Well, there
he
it is.
He gets $100,000.
Well, right there. And you get a bunch of guys, they'll do anything for that.
And he can keep the magazines.
The magazines from the clinic.
That's right.
But what a great TV show. I mean, really, and the drama.
I don't know, Don. I think it's a little lowbrow, if you ask me.
Okay. Cadbury, or I'm sorry. Gadfly. Cadbury is a candy bar,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. All right. I guess I'll stoop down to the peasant level and watch that, you know, with everybody else. It's frustrating.
And finally, Mike.
I prefer the theater.
Of course you do.
It's musical theater.
Yes, of course.
Right. How was the theater, Mrs. Lincoln? Other than that, how was the show? Mike, this is for you and for everybody else who has daughters.
Very good.
I know your girls are not high school age yet.
Right.
And I know that we live in the Washington area.
They're in an accelerated program, though.
Of course they are. They are.
That's a joke.
I know, but they're gadflies.
They're in the gadfly university.
That's right. Now, are girls, are chicks gadflies?
They can be.
Would they be gadflee? I mean,
no.
Is there not a feminine kind
of? Yeah, they're gadflets.
Well, here's a story for your gadflets.
Okay.
And for anybody else that has girls that are going to be going to school, I recommend the high school that you want to send them to is Timken High School in Canton, Ohio.
Okay.
Now, not only is Canton, Ohio, a great town and a home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What are you doing?
You got
Be True to Your School?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Good, yeah, we need some music with this. I think this will give you hope, Mike.
Okay.
That people out there are doing things the right way. Okay, it's Canton, Ohio. They have 490 female students in Timken High School in Canton, Ohio. Right now, out of the 490 females, 65 are pregnant.
Wow.
Maybe you're wondering, that's 13% of all the girls in school.
That's an outrageous statistic, a little high.
They talked to the principal, and the principal said, quote, I wish I had the answer as to why this is happening.
Is that Principal Hughes?
Let me see. Teen pregnancy plummeting everywhere else in the United States. However,
13%.
Yes, that is Timken High School, Canton, Ohio. 490 girls, 65 of them knocked up already. And the principal? I wish I knew the answer to why this was happening.
Well, I think based on your previous story, we see you make the class trip Amsterdam. Send them over there. Why not?
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Don.
Hello. Mike's here too. Please do not disrespect Mike. Say hi to Mike, please. He's having a day.
Hello, Mike. I love Mike. I'm sorry he's having a hard day.
He's having a gadfly day.
Yes, I was just realizing the teen pregnancy is common among the lower social strata.
I just wanted to let you know that the team from The Amazing Race, the normal-sized woman was Myrna, and her sister, her cousin was Charla.
Charla.
Yeah,
that was the other teams called them Myrna and Shmirna, but if you really want to get some good entertainment, Charla is now on Battle of the Network Reality Stars.
I cannot bring myself. That was one of the choices last night, and I went by, I think it's on Bravo, and I saw a big, fat, naked Richard Hatch, like playing a hopscotch or something.
I thought he was in jail.
He got out long enough to be on the show, Battle of the Network Reality Stars.
Isn't it set up like the old show with like the obstacle course that we used to watch like Dick Van Patten do?
They show scenes from the old one interspersed with the new one, so you get to see like Gabe Kaplan in his little shorts and tube socks.
That's perfect.
Yeah, short shorts.
Thank you. Thank you for the name. Thank you for the name.
Charla,
for
short.
Of the midget. Hello, Don and Mike show.
We Charla.
Hey, how's it? Hello, people.
How you doing? I wanted to reply on how you said on Michael Hughes, how you said he's either a coward or an idiot.
Oh, that was yesterday's show. Yes, we were asking people at the station if they thought the general manager was a coward or an idiot.
Well, I mean, I think he'd be a cowdiot, wouldn't he?
A cowdiot.
A cowdiot.
A cowdiot.
He waited 24 hours for that.
That guy's not a gadfly.
No, he's not a gadfly.
He's like me. He's one of my guys.
You sure you want to stand by that one right there?
He's one of the booger eaters. You got your gadflies, and then you got your booger eaters.
That's right.
But once again, I believe gadflies may be swarming around him.
Yes, and terror raids in other regions.
Hold on. Never mind. Never mind. You already put the stuff away.
Oh, no, you didn't? The terror reads booze.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Wow, that was fast.
That was.
Snuck up on me. Wasn't that a great Monday montage, everybody?
Are you going to play that Neil Sedaka record?
Yeah. Which one?
Fat Blood!
Oh, okay. Sure. Coming right up here on the new Q. Whatever that means. Anyway, welcome back to Best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike returning tomorrow, yay, from vacation. And they're going to be in their new studio, and it's going to be awesome. So until then, we've got some great, great best of to round out the rest of the day. Oh, it looks like when Peter Jennings died, it looks like Tom Brokaw stopped in to talk to the boys. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Anyway, I didn't mean to get heavy, but I was just thinking. Google made me think about that. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's a segue. My wife passed away. You know that. Peter Jennings passed away as well. And we figured that there would be no better way to find out what Peter Jennings was really like than to bring in one of his colleagues. Hang it on.
Hi, Don.
So,
Tom Brokaw.
Hey, Tom.
Formerly of NBC Nightly News, and I thought I'd come by just to see you guys and discuss the stories of the day and the major happenings in the news. Of course, now the Marine situation over in Iran is growing hair. Lots of very strange things going around, but I know that's not what I'm here to talk about.
No, listen, it's
here to talk about the hoax.
What hoax? The Peter Jennings story?
Has anyone gotten confirmation on this? As a news journalist, it's always very important to make sure that these stories are true, and we check our facts. Dan Rather, this is Tom Brokaw, but Dan Rather has proven, that what you do is you make sure all your stories are intact, have sources. Anybody sourced the Jennings death story?
Yes, absolutely.
Has anyone seen the body?
Now, how come you didn't say this morning on the Today Show?
This is real me, as I'm often want to do. This show is a bastion of truth in journalism.
Oh,
and I want to say that I had to say the right things, but later got to thinking with some of my NBC Nightly News colleagues.
Yes.
And we were discussing over several martinis at lunch what the deal is, and is it true, or are we all being scammed by Jennings as he gets ready to make his comeback?
No, it's a sad thing. He's gone.
I called BW and told him we need to see the body, or don't run with it.
Who's that, Williams?
Brian Williams.
Brian Williams.
And, you know, being the little Nancy that he is, the little Lord Fauntleroy, snap two. He's still terrified of me.
Now, I saw you on the Today Show.
Yes. And the show's a mess.
Like every celebrity, you moved to Montana.
Crumbling at the seams. First Tom Brokaw, okay? Lesson number one.
Yes.
Always replace the aging female. And Couric is ready for the barnyard.
Wow.
I don't think we need Katie Couric. Get some hot legs. Get Couric out.
I tell you,
Lauer is a lifer. He can stay as long as he wants. That's a priority.
You don't want in Couric's spot?
Who's that?
Is that Campbell Brown?
Campbell Brown, no.
My God.
Not my cup of tea.
First off, Carpenter's dream. Uh-huh. Really. Flat as a board. Easy to screw.
Doesn't matter, though. We called her TK.
And that stands for?
Tomcat. And she was.
Wow.
I have the nail scars to prove it.
She is.
Fantastic.
She has got the mouth, though. The new and improved Joker smile. Mm-hmm. And she does this thing. I'm Campbell Brown. NBC News.
John, I have some insight.
Drives me nuts.
Into today. Don't let Campbell Brown's frigid exterior fool you. She's all 100% woman.
Wow.
And the thing that we like about her in the newsroom is that she'd watch porn with us. That's what we'd enjoy.
She does.
Why don't you come out to Montana and you and I can hunt wombat together?
Wouldn't
that be big fun?
She does the thing with the S's. Where in news.
Yeah.
News.
There's a reason for that, too.
Why's that?
The third tooth back chipped.
Oh.
Chipped.
Gotcha.
Well, the reason she did it, she explained it one time. That which is used develops. That which is not used wastes away. Tom Brokaw's philosophy.
Tom, listen.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Tom.
How you been?
You know.
Good to see you, Rob.
You know that in truth, you know Peter Jennings has passed. I was wondering if you have.
I'm with you on the Campbell Brown, though. I have no patience for a speech impediment.
Understood.
Really, in my opinion, if you have the impediment, get out of the news business.
Right.
You don't belong there because they're very difficult names to pronounce and places to go.
Why don't you tell us about the last time that you were on location doing a story with the great Peter Jennings?
Be glad to, Don. Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News. I believe it was in Oklahoma City after the tragedy. Tom Brokaw, Dan Rather, Peter Jennings, all in town for covering the big story, of course, the bombing, which was an American tragedy. I decided to sneak over to the residence, or I should say Residence Inn by Marriott, where Jennings and his crew were staying. And I managed to get a catbird seat just overlooking his hotel bank balcony.
Wow.
I instructed one of my news interns from Nightly News to get me a paintball gun. And when Jennings came out on his balcony, I recreated the assassination attempt on Martin Luther King.
What?
Yes. It was fascinating. And he was covered with paint, and we got a big laugh, took pictures of it.
Sure.
And then they all got out of there. We broke into his hotel room, took his toothbrush, and we put it between two sought comfort in a 90-year-old hooker.
Wow.
It was big fun. I have the free time. I'm now building a pond. In my backyard. Tom Brokaw, NBC.
Now, didn't you guys, when it was the three of you out on the town for a big story?
Yes.
Isn't it true that you always, all three of you would go get laid?
Jennings would come along. Brokaw and Jennings were the two studs.
Right.
And Rather would get sloppy seconds almost every night.
Sure.
And he'd want to be like us, but he couldn't. We have the... Jennings and I, let me start again.
Okay.
Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News. Jennings and I possess the...
Je ne sais quoi?
Well, we called it the Jennings sais quoi. Let me tell you about that. Jennings sais quoi.
What was that?
He could do it without talking. I had to usually do my spiel. You might remember me from the Today Show, also Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News.
Right.
Nation's news anchor. Jennings would get a waitress over in the cheap speakeasies or diners or we'd have our meals.
TGI Friday.
And Jennings would say, come here. Let me look you in the eye. And they would normally melt.
Yeah.
And, of course, What I didn't discover until later on is he had an intern who would tell them who he was. And how would you like to sleep in the seat of power?
Now,
how they put it.
How did Rather handle that?
Rather was a jealous, jealous man. Constantly jealous. Constantly uptight. And unfortunately, his sleep patterns caused a rather embarrassing problem that circulated around the newsroom.
Oh, no.
What's that?
People don't know this, but I'll let you have it because this is an exclusive.
Okay.
Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News, about Dan Rather.
Yeah.
Rather wet the bed.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. To break the ice, Jennings used to do his elephant impression. Now, you know how that worked. I'll just simply say this. In the news for, Peter Jennings was known as an oddity. And I don't mean in a bad way.
Really?
I mean in a real good way.
Oh, good for him.
That's right. He'd pull it out and say, elephant time. And we would be amazed. Honest to God, you couldn't even fit it in a standard Nakamichi camera case.
What can you say about him as a broadcaster? Because I know you find it hard to dole out the compliments to your peers.
Actually,
he's passed away.
Yeah. Tom Brokaw standing by with tribute time. Let me just put it to you this way. I refer to Rather and Jennings as C1 and C2.
C1 and C2?
Crap 1 and Crap 2. Oh, my.
I told you to be nice.
But Jennings was always Crap 1. I always put him in front of Rather. I put anyone in front of Rather. I put Pat O'Brien in front of Rather.
Wow.
That's how I feel about Rather. Jennings was okay.
What about when Pat O'Brien was all coked up and calling for the hookers?
That was a good time. We all knew it was true. Actually, it was just like any other newsman, Don. It's like any newsman. O'Brien got caught. But let me. Can I give my heartfelt tribute?
All right, here we go now. This is what we want.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News, reflecting on the life of a great broadcaster. Peter Jennings, remember you heard it here. He didn't suck that much. Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News.
That's the best you can do?
Here's the fact that you might not know about Peter. It might have been the European-Canadian connection, spending the time in London as a foreign correspondent for many years for ABC.
Yeah.
The fact is, all of his suits that he wore on the news were backless. That's right. A controlled dickie, if you will. Jennings would overheat during the hot television lights, especially before the modern lights came on, when those studios, especially in the summertime with all the air conditioning in the world, were very hot. So Jennings had designed suits that he would just push himself into, and he would be naked with his back showing. And that's how he'd keep cool.
Huh.
Most will soon know that Jennings was a spy for our evil enemy to the north.
Canada.
Oh, sorry for Canada.
You're not going to play that card, are you?
That's the truth, though. It was never a mortal enemy as far as the international circles were concerned, but we all knew, don't give too much information to Jennings because he's Canadian. That's what we said. And I didn't buy, even late in life, that citizenship thing he talked about. I never thought it was true. I always said, thank God that Canada doesn't have a nuclear submarine to spy on us, because Jennings would give them all the coordinates. I am what I always am and always will be.
What's that?
Part of the greatest generation.
Oh, shut up with
that. An American Dot.
Shut up with that.
Copies available in paperback now.
I hate your book. I hate the fact that you're on TV this morning sucking ass about this guy, then you come on this show this afternoon and look at you.
I penned a new book that I've had on the shelf for quite some time that I wrote when I heard about Peter Jennings' predicament. I call it The Greatest Genetic Accomplishment. It's not to be confused with The Greatest Generation.
No.
It's all about the elephant.
It's about the elephant.
So it's what we called it. It was amazing. The only thing you couldn't do to that is feed it peanuts. I've got two giant...
You've got what? What do you got?
Tom Brokaw, I've got two giant fatties. One for me and one for me homies. Tom Brokaw.
Wow.
How do you think I got through that? With this speech impediment, impossible to do nightly news without the proper amount of gang.
Wow.
That's why Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News, don't Bogart that joint.
Oh, yeah. Joe.
Well, so glad I have to get back to my Montana trout stream.
Joe.
I know there's a giant brown waiting to take my fly. That's fishing talk.
We'll interpret that any way that, that we will. There is a giant brown.
There's a giant brown.
After his fly.
There's a giant brown waiting in my pool, waiting to grab my fly. That's fishing talk.
This is Robert the Mailman.
A river runs through it. That's the Brokaw. How's Robert doing? Understand he's getting his, he got the diabetes thing cleared up and he's going to have the teeth pulled.
Yeah, Robert the Mailman's getting his brand new fake teeth. He's going to be having that procedure done on our show.
I look forward to seeing him peer in the window. I truly do. It should be big fun. Tom Brokaw saying, saluting a great broadcaster, a fallen comrade.
Yes.
He no longer will be with us, but he will be remembered by me. Not for his incredible journalistic integrity.
Right. But for
his amazing appendage that he took the time to share with all of us.
That was...
Godspeed, old friend.
Very touching, Tom.
I endorse the Postal Service. I mail my grass. So long, Doc.
I had no idea.
Wow, it's kind of an interesting, you know, God, weird stuff. All
any of that coverage today, they were all, I mean, ABC, of course, you know, owned it because he worked there.
Right. Yeah.
But the other channels, you know, they propped up Brokaw.
Right.
3:30 a.m. in Montana.
Sure.
And Rather slid out of his hole to show up on CBS. Although I did notice that Dan Rather got bumped for Jessica Simpson.
Oh, really?
That, I guess... When they were planning out the show,
that's because she's hot.
They said, "Okay, we're gonna mention the Russian sub, and then we're gonna touch on the fact that Peter Jennings died, and then we're gonna go right to our big Jessica Simpson singing 'These Boots Are Made for Walking.'
Wow!
And then tell Rather we'll go to him after that."
The good thing about Jessica Simpson making the rounds now, though, is because she is so dumb that she is making a lot of these little faux pas wherever she goes, and they're kind of adding up. She did one on Regis and Kathy Lee that they were talking about. Just in Kelly, and I forgot what the word was, but it was a word she mispronounced, and apparently, you know, Kelly was very anxious to discuss that
it
today.
Was iconish.
She said iconish.
Yeah, she is an iconish figure.
An iconish figure, that's what it was. And everybody likes that. And the more press she does, the more, you know, all you have to do is just get her on the right subject. It's great.
On the show on CBS I saw her on today, you know, where the guy, Harry Smith,
right.
Just standing there, just staring at her. She's out there wearing the Daisy Duke.
Sure.
And he's having to ask her inane questions like, do you really think that you're going to have an acting career? You know, duh. Right. When, you know, really, all he really wants to say is, how about we go in the back room?
Let's see the guns.
And I'll give him some credit that he did catch himself
right
about halfway through this ridiculous freaking segment that was right in between the Russian submarine and the passing of Peter Jennings.
Right.
He at one point caught himself and said, I guess this is not really my audition tape for 60 minutes. The guy said it on the air live.
She is great. I think we might get more out of her. Might not be as good as the president, but I think the more that she does interviews, especially when they get her on the serious subjects, because that's what she, when they ask her about, you know, what was it like being over there entertaining the troops, she gets a little heavy, and that's when she, I think, is prone to make a mistake.
And she kept calling it Iraq.
Iraq? That's it. That's what I heard. Iraq.
When Nick and I went to Iraq. Iraq. Iran.
She's the real deal.
Yeah.
She really is.
She's the dumbest. Stay tuned tonight for Peter Rosenberg. He'll have a touching tribute to Peter Jennings.
I'm looking forward to that. Yes.
Thank you. Rob just wrote that prompt for me and I read it.
People named Peter.
I don't know if that's a joke or that's an actual fact.
Well,
but you know why it worked for me.
You know what? Generally, from the demeanor of Rob with his jaw hanging open and falling on the floor, I believe he intended it as a joke.
Well, he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Listen, bring a single malted Glengarry for me and one for my boy Mikey here. And if you tell the bartender to go easy on the water, then this 50-cent piece has your name written all over it. Okay? I want you to run along because I'll be timing you. I'm going to keep time. One, two, three, four.
What an
baby, that was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
That was so demeaning.
She smiled, baby.
I can't believe what an asshole you are.
No, baby, she smiled.
She was smiling at what an asshole.
No. She was smiling at how money I was.
It's on in my show. All things equal, they prefer dog vomit. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's a good one. Well, everybody, Don and Mike return tomorrow to their brand new studios in Rockville. And so we've got one more episode, or one more segment of Best Of for you. I've been your host, Legendary Joe Arndinger, with you. Remember Bo Bice? Did he win? No, he lost to Carrie Underwood in American Idol. So, but Don and Mike got a hold of Mima Bice, and it truly is the best of Don and Mike.
Hold on a second. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hold on, ma'am. It's Bo Bice's. I'm not even out of a break yet.
When's her birthday?
It's Bo Bice's grandmother.
Also 71.
We tell her that we'll be right with her.
Yes. Yeah.
It's Sonny's birthday, yes, which is right. Why we're playing this tape.
Thank you. Have you been hiding bosom rags from me?
Trying to.
These magazines are from before we were married. Maybe you should throw them away.
But I need them for the articles.
The articles, eh? So, you wouldn't mind if I cut out all the erotic nudes?
Of course not. Why would I want to look at a nude woman I'm not even married to?
Okay. Here's your precious articles.
Thanks, Marge. I can't wait to read about sport fishing with Sonny Jurgensen. Oh! What man would want you now?
Tomorrow. There you go. All right, tomorrow. And he'll tell us everything about everything.
Hot dog.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Billy Big Boy. Just ahead of our exclusive interview with Bo Bice's grandma, Grandma Bice. Let me explain to you what it was like in the day being a cutting edge DJ. This was the song. I don't know what made me think of Clifton Davis.
Were we able to do it?
Yeah. This is Gloria Gaynor. Never Can Say Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
I think this record had been out. I don't know, like 1974. I'm working in Providence. This is like 1978.
Right.